Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. This is your award-winning Gibbon Nation Media Assassination, episode 1726.
This is No Agenda.
Eating black-eyed peas and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where everyone's talking about the fog, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Well, I'm glad you started with that. Before we say Happy New Year, let's talk about the fog. Here is a quick supercut about the fog.
For the last 7 days, the world has been shrouded in a veil of mystery. An unrelenting fog that stretches from the poop-covered streets of Portland, Oregon, to the quietest corners of the countryside. This is no ordinary weather phenomenon. It's a dense, suffocating mist with an unsettling smell of chemicals lingering in the air.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. Have you noticed this strange, thick fog that is blanketing cities across the globe? As a matter of fact, drop in the comments if you've experienced this. People are getting sick. They're coughing, struggling to breathe, and posting videos about it all over the internet. And here's the kicker. They're even reporting the scent of chemicals.
We have some strange things happening, my friends. This is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Fog, this very bizarre fog, very thick fog, happening in places that it never happens.
Never.
And things being seen in the fog.
This is an emergency live stream because the internet is flooded right now with footage that I'm about to show you.
Oh, yes.
Many of that footage with a weird fog issue.
Okay, so you guys have sent in some really wild stuff this time.
Seriously wild.
Videos, social media posts. I even saw a couple of local news clips.
Right.
All about this strange fog that seems to be blanketing everything.
Yeah.
It's popping up everywhere.
Oh, man. Hey, people, guess what? It's fog. It's fog.
You don't have it here. I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, man. Oh, well, the best one, I couldn't find anyone on YouTube or talking about it, is this is not fog. It's smart dust.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I started off with, I wasn't even going to use it as the intro. I'm glad you got that super cut because I have no clips about it.
But I made that myself this morning.
Well, good. Good. Yeah. I'm glad we do some work on this show.
We do some work.
So there's this woman who found, you know, she looks at her HEPA filter in her furnace and it's all, you know, it's black because who knows why.
I mean,
there's
a million
possibilities.
It's a HEPA filter. That's why.
It's a HEPA filter. They collect dust.
Yeah.
And so she's all bent out of shape because of the fog. And then there's this idea. This is the June bug thing. It's a weird form of hysteria. Mimi brought it up this morning. She's on the computer. She says, "What's this all this about the fog?
The fog. What's up?"
And I said, "Wow,
wait a minute. Wait. Was she on the computer or was she on Facebook?"
She was on the computer. Uh-huh. She was doom scrolling on something.
Oh,
was
yeah, Facebook.
Of course.
But I told her that the real
thing that's going on, because I thought the fog thing had already passed, and I do have the clip for this, which is this thing, which is the only talk clip I have.
Oh, boy.
This is a woman. She's wearing a mask. She's at the Planet Fitness, and here she goes.
Hey, good morning, people. For those of you who watch most of my posts, you know that I am a proud member of Team DeLulu.
DeLulu.
If you know what that means, then it will make sense to you. But yeah. I was watching Empress and Raw Cognizance and a couple of other people today, and it's starting. It's happening. If you have it's access happening. To DJT's that social media side of his. Read the one from today where he is talking to Republicans and telling them to be tough. He knows. He knows he's caught. He knows.
What? He's caught?
Is going to be an interesting few weeks. I've told people from the very beginning, they ain't no way. Things are going to turn out the way people expect them to turn out on the 20th. So it's oh wow. I am so happy I can say a little bit about it now. Because I was stifled at the beginning. I was told not to talk about this. I was warned that I would be blocked if I brought this up in any conversation. And it shocks me that it's easy for a person or people to do that and then condemn me for questioning things that don't look right. And now we learn that there's a lot of people questioning what doesn't look right.
So we just lost half the audience. What is this clip? What is this clip about?
There's another. This is all black women. Trump is not going to be. This I've been playing these clips for a while. Oh yeah,
he's not going to be president. Yes, I've heard.
These clips for a while. They're all subtle, and they're all like, this is the latest version of these black women. They've all come out and said he's been caught.
Yes, He's in Guantanamo Bay,
He's been caught, and he's not going to. And Kamala, the thing that really tops it from some of these people is that Kamala's being brought back.
Yeah, to be president, of course. It's obvious.
And this one might be a parody. This woman, because she says she's from Team Delulu.
As in delusional?
Yeah.
So, you know, okay.
So, and we didn't lose half the audience. We only lost a third of them. Come on.
So, first of all, it's temperature inversion. We have fog. In fact, January 2024, Washington Post, why thick fog is blanketing a record stretch of the U.S. This happens in January. But you identified correctly what is really happening in the narcissistic era that we live in. And I was thinking about this yesterday.
Hysteria.
It's narcissistic, and that's why it breeds hysteria. And what she, if it was a parody or not, what she's doing is very typical. I can't talk about this. You know, they told me I'll be blocked. You know, I have this on.
They.
So yesterday we had a New Year's Eve gathering, some friends of ours, and we had Black Eyed Peas actually, which was a first.
It's good luck in the South.
It's good luck in the South.
Here in the North, no.
It comes, I think it originally comes from the Civil War, I think. Black Eyed Peas were.
I used to know the history of this.
Looked it up. Of course, it's superstition. But Black Eyed Peas were considered a food for animals, were often overlooked by soldiers. However, they became a vital source of sustenance during harsh winters. And it is, of course, a symbol of luck. You got to eat Black Eyed Peas. I never had them. Liked them
a
lot.
It's a bean.
I liked them a lot. It was good.
They're very tasty.
So
it's an heirloom bean. They're quite good. There's a lot of these different kinds of heirloom beans. Yellow-eyed peas too, which are beans.
Well, hold on a second. I've never heard of, well, now we have a bean discussion. Yellow-eyed peas.
Yeah, I have a couple of cans. They came from S&W. I think they have an heirloom brand. They're starting to bring out these old heirloom beans and canning them. There's a bunch of weird. They're all good. I mean, this nothing tops. Just to say this. I'm gonna say it. Pineapple pizza, so I'm gonna say this too.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than a pinto bean.
Pinto bean. Pinto beans for the win. So as always, people bring up the, you know, like it must have been 30, 40 people there. At least half of them are watching the game, the Texas game. Went into overtime. We won, of course, Texas. Although we didn't deserve it. And that's my sports ball analysis for today.
I would say you didn't deserve it and let Arizona State get that close.
I'm telling you, we didn't deserve it, but we won, so we'll take it. But then everyone said, there's this conspiracy guy. Hey, what about the fog? So it starts with the fog. And then you want to hear the latest?
Of course. Remind me to part of the show.
Remind me to come back to the story. We are about to go into 10 days of communication darkness. The power to the entire world will switch off briefly, at which point the internet will be switched over to Starlink only. Shutdowns will occur only in certain areas, but banks are closing, ATMs, credit cards won't work. Make sure you have at least a month's supply of food, water, cash, medicine, all the essentials for yourself, your family, and to share with others in case of emergency. But if you're unprepared, don't worry, because the military will be supplying what we need. and nonstop education will be broadcast, teaching everybody about the true principles of freedom and justice. It's coming. It's all coming. It's all part of the plan. Trust the plan. I'm not kidding. This is the stuff that gets talked about here.
That is amazing.
It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. So, it's absolutely amazing how small communities, which yours is,
of incredibly well-educated, smart people.
I think they have a high net income area, too. I think you're not a bunch of poor people.
No, not at all.
In fact, the poor people are probably going to come up with this crap.
We're the poorest. We're the podcast family. Everyone else is in oil and land. Yeah. And we're like this. Yeah.
So it's essentially a Texas elite, and you end up coming up with this left and right, and it happens continuously. I've noticed this. It's nonstop.
So,
and it goes from one to another, and nobody ever notices that the stuff in the past has ever failed and never happened.
Well,
no one questions this. This is what bothers me.
Well, then it moved to H-1B, and I don't want to get into that just now. But you know, I laid out my rap, which I laid out on the last show. It's like, you let them all come in, Silicon Valley. Let it all be run by Indians. It's fine. What have they delivered other than the iPhone 16? At this point, people start laughing and chuckling, and like, oh, I still have an iPhone. People are pulling out their iPhones. I have an iPhone 11. I haven't upgraded. Oh, I got an iPhone 12, and then I pull out the flip phone. I said, I got a flip phone, and I was, oh, let me look at that. And it was this. It really made me think, like, what is it? What does it do? I said, not much. Does it have a selfie cam? I said, not a very good one. It's unattractive to use. It's not easy, so I don't use it. I use it for texting, and it's indestructible, and it costs $62. And I realized what is happening in the narcissistic era. The narcissism is created by the smartphone and the selfie cam. And we're,
hold on a second. I love the way you come up with these crazy theories. You've done this before with the under-socialized, over-socialized, under-educated. You have this basic thesis, and you will use it as a baseline, a tree, as it were, for all the branches of your thoughts.
Forever.
And it's actually quite good.
Well, thank you. And I'm not even done. I'm just getting ramped up
here. Well, no, I figured that. That's why I had to stop you.
So, what happens is, and it's TikTok, and a lot of older people are on TikTok. What is happening is, you're completely in your own bubble. You have this device in your hands, and it is the device. I'm convinced now it's the device. And if there's something you don't like, you just swipe away. We are, in fact, propagandizing ourselves I don't want to see that. No, I want to see more missed videos. And throughout history, people have carried symbols of how they're dominated. Now, slaves, of course, didn't have a choice, but they got branded. You had the scarlet letter. To some degree, even a rosary is showing that you're dominated by something. And I think the smartphone now is our confessional. TikTok and social networks, they're the church. A like is like getting an amen. And instead of asking for forgiveness, we're begging for attention. And this is why you're safe. This is why you're safe, because you don't have one of these propaganda narcissistic devices. And
I have one.
And but you don't carry it around like a rosary.
No, hell no.
No. And my flip phone, people are interested. I can see they're drawn to it, because underneath it all, they know that the smartphone is the problem, and they're drawn to the $62 device because they know that really they have to break free from this thing that dominates their life. And it has become a complete narcissistic error. It's all to raise everyone's own profile, to raise your own your brand, your marketability. That's what it's become. And those who are tied to it will probably never get out of it. The narcissistic era, the smartphone, and the selfie camera.
The woman who is talking, that the talk clip that I played earlier, she does say, if you've heard my other discussions, I'm a member of DeLulu.
Yeah.
In other words, a lot of these people always self-reference. They talk about
Me.
It's like I've been, as I've told you in my past videos, yeah. You know, as though they all say this.
Yes. As you should know from my show.
My show, yeah.
And this is also the reason for the incessant, you've got to have a video podcast. If you don't have a video podcast, it's no good. You've got to show yourself. It's for you. You have to raise your. It's all about
your brand.
Your brand, your marketability,
your personal brand.
Yeah, and I think you and
I'd like to do a Google Ngram search on personal brand and see that cropped up.
How many times have you heard someone say, "Oh, that's really off brand for me"? I've heard young people say this.
Oh yeah,
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 yeah. They're lost, John, and we are the life raft in an ocean. We are the life raft in an ocean of narcissism. Grab a hold of us, people. Grab a hold. You can be saved. Jeez.
That's a great one. Yeah, and you can date it all back to 2007 with the iPhone.
That's right. That's when it kicked in.
There was other smart devices that, you know, the Microsoft had a smartphone, and Nokia had all these, but they didn't come close to once the iPhone rolled out.
Actually, when did the iPhone get the selfie cam? I don't think it was on the first device.
I think it was.
I don't think they had a selfie.
No, because there were. I'll tell you why I think that.
Okay.
Now you would have to look it up, the iPhone 1, but because there was selfie cameras on all the other phones before the iPhone showed up, they're not going to bring it out and without the camera, because their cameras were already in play for at least 2 or 3 years. In fact, I remember going to Comdex and some of these trade shows for Motorola and other people, and they had the not all of them. But a lot of them already had the camera, and it was a big deal.
Let me see. Hardware. I don't think it had. I don't think it. I think that was one of the reasons. I can't find it quick enough, but I don't think.
Well, the
troll room says,
go to work.
Troll room says the first iPhone only had the rear camera.
Okay. Yes, I don't. That's yeah, you're thinking about. Of the two cameras.
Yeah, the selfie cam. That's the one on the front
camera. Yeah, the one on the front. You're right.
Yeah.
So, no, that I agree with, because the idea of a selfie camera, the camera on the other side, came when they were looking for additional features.
Yes. And so,
but you could. They were taking people were taking selfies with a rear camera, and they'd check it.
I know, but it was the combo. It was.
It wasn't quite the same. Yeah,
the combo of the front facing cam and Facebook/Twitter. You had to have a place to send it.
And always the funny thing is that the camera, the regular camera that was on all the phones, was a higher resolution than the selfie camera. Is always like half as good.
Yeah, sucked. Yeah.
It was just a cheaper camera.
Yes.
It was always,
because they didn't understand the importance that this would make it the true bonanza that it is. The front facing camera is really the big deal. That's in conjunction with, I mean, what is TikTok about? All these clips, every single one you've brought is all about, it's all about me. Watch me dance, watch me cook, watch me do my hair, watch me do my makeup.
Dipshits clips are the, well, I mean, we don't play those on this show because it's just some dipshit.
Watch my morning routine.
Looking at her cool moves, you know, it's always some girl as a teen.
Watch me.
And I don't understand what the appeal of this is. If somebody could explain that to me.
I'm explaining it to you.
No, I know, but why would you? Yes, but that's different than expressing yourself by talking yakking, as opposed to taking somebody's song and then doing some dance.
Look at me dance. Look at me dance. Look how good I dance. I'm a good dancer.
They're not good dancers.
No one said narcissists were realistic. No, this is.
Well, the dancing thing is despicable.
But anyway. Thanks to smartphones, we also have lots of video of lots of events, lots of things that are taking place. And I'm sure lots of people are tuning in to this live broadcast saying, oh, I wonder what the guys think about New Orleans. I wonder what they're talking about. And
I have way too many clips for the New Orleans.
Well, that's good. I have clips that are that I think will matter. But I want to remind everybody how we view these things. And it was, in fact, November 14th, 2024, exactly 6 weeks ago that this report came over the wire.
Breaking this hour, FBI Houston has arrested a man accused of attempting to provide material support for the terror group ISIS.
That was 6 weeks ago. Now, when I see something happening with ISIS, with apparently an ISIS flag, the FBI is on the scene immediately. I can only think 6 week cycle gone rogue, because it had all the other elements. It had
I'm totally into the 6 week. I didn't get the previous clip from the November 14th, but I was totally convinced, because you're right. As soon as the story starts off, FBI starts off with the why not local police? You know, I mean, the local police were obviously involved in New Orleans, but the FBI angle was just too much.
I need to roll out, I guess, right off the bat, this guy that the WGN had on in Chicago, who is professor of history from DePaul, but he's billed, I believe, as terrorism expert. The guy, he's got the gray hair. He's got all the features, John, all of it. And I have
my terrorist experts too.
Okay. I'll let me roll out mine.
What's this guy's name?
This is something weird. Let's see. This mentioned in the clip.
What is your sense about the city of New Orleans?
Hold on a second. Is this the I'm going to make sure I got the right one. Here we go. This one.
Dr. Tom Mokaitis, terrorism expert. And
Tom Mokaitis?
It's Mokaitis, M-O-C-K-A-I-T-U.
Mokaitis.
I'm not kidding. Mokaitis. Okay. Mokaitis.
Dr. Tom Mokaitis, terrorism expert and history professor at DePaul University, is joining us live now to discuss more on this tragedy in New Orleans. Tom, thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts?
And then what happened to Professor? Tom, thanks for joining us. Okay, kind of friendly, aren't we, with the professor?
Tragedy in New Orleans. Tom, thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts on the suspect's background? We heard President Biden elaborating on some posts to social media where he was praising ISIS, and also his military background. Just give us your reaction to the details that we know about him so far.
Yes, details.
Well, it reminds me of the Fort Hood shooter in that regard, Hassan Nadal. This is another example of the self-radicalized or radicalized online lone wolf terrorist. It looks like he acted alone, but they're not entirely sure about that. But what's really interesting is his attack was almost, a page taken out of the Inspire magazine published in 2010. That was that issue that had this Chicago skyline. It also had an article titled The Ultimate Mowing Machine, which contained instructions for how to use a pickup truck to mow down pedestrians and then follow it up with a firearm battle, which is exactly what he did. And of course, the flag is pretty compelling evidence that he affiliated with ISIS. Now, they didn't immediately claim responsibility, which is further evidence that he's a lone wolf. Typically, they will only weigh in when they've made a determination that, yes, he's acted on our behalf and we bless his actions.
So when I heard this, I hear Inspire Magazine, Lone Wolf, The Ultimate Mowing Machine. I dive into our No Agenda clip archive. 2016, Trump enters office in this year as well.
When I saw this attack and the news unfolding, I immediately recalled a series of articles in the Al-Qaeda and the Arabian Peninsula magazine Inspire called Open Source Jihad, which were published in 2010. And one of those articles described exactly what happened in Paris today. This was the magazine that was published by Anwar al-Awlaki and Samir Khan, who are two American-born Al-Qaeda terrorists. And this article, the Ultimate Mowing Machine, let me just read you this, because this is exactly mowing what happened. Machine. The idea is to use a pickup truck as a mowing machine, not to mow grass, but to mow down the enemies of Allah. Pick your location and timing carefully. Go for the most crowded locations. To achieve maximum carnage, you need to pick up as much speed as you can while still retaining good control of your vehicle in order to strike as many people as possible in your first run. The ideal location is a place where there are maximum number of pedestrians and the least number of vehicles. If you can get through the pedestrian-only areas, that exist in some downtown city areas, that would be fabulous. And finally, this is the kicker. If you have access to firearms, carry them with you so that you may use them to finish off your work if your vehicle gets grounded during the attack. The idea would be to implement it in countries like Israel, the U.S., Britain, Canada, Australia, and France. That is exactly what happened tonight. Al-Qaeda published it in 2010 in their magazine Inspire.
Come on. FBI, wait, we know this just script.
Just to pile on.
Yeah, please.
And that was from 2016.
2016, yeah.
NPR. The clip is called Car Ramming Inspire Magazine.
You know, in 2010, Al-Qaeda came out in Inspire Magazine and asked people to start using vehicles to ram. They, in fact, named the F-350 specifically as a heavy-duty weapon that could be used by their people. And then that was added to by the Islamic State. And so it's not something that we should be surprised by.
And I'll just add that the president, or whoever that guy is, came out right away for a four-minute conference, a four-minute speech about what happened, which was interrupted by the teleprompter failing. I think it's important we listen to what President Biden said.
Here's what we know so far. The FBI has reported to me the killer was an American citizen, born in Texas. He served in the United States Army on active duty for many years. He also served in the Army Reserve until a few years ago. The FBI also reported to me that mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he's inspired by ISIS.
I have not seen any of these videos, by the way. I've not seen any videos he posted on social media, but okay.
Expressing a desire to kill.
Kill!
Desire to kill. The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle.
Okay, now, this is a discrepancy. The flag was found in his vehicle. Was he flying on the back of his vehicle? The FBI had it covered. I saw the video where he hangs a quick right and accelerates onto Bourbon Street. The flag was not unfurled in that video, so this stinks.
But you rented to conduct this attack. I agree with this.
By the way, I've got. I followed this too, and there's discrepant. It was on the trailer hitch. Yeah. It was on a flagpole. Mm-hmm. It was in the back. It was in the trunk. It was on the ground.
Yeah. A little more from the president.
The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle, which he rented to conduct this attack.
Why is this relevant? Which he rented to conduct this attack? I mean, this is a script.
Possible explosives were found in the vehicle as well, and more explosives were found nearby. The situation is very fluid. And the investigation has a preliminary stage. And the fact is that right now, excuse me.
Mr. President, we're having a problem with the prompter. Just one second.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
The law enforcement and intelligence community are continuing to look for any connections, associations, or co-conspirators. We have nothing additional to report at this time. The investigation is continuing to be active, and no one should jump to conclusions. I've directed my Attorney General, the FBI Director, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, and the intelligence community to work on this intensively until we have a full and complete information. And once we have that information, I will share that information as soon as we can confirm it. Additionally, we're tracking the explosion of a cyber truck outside the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, there we go.
Law enforcement and the intelligence community are investigating this as well, including whether there's any possible connection with the attack in New Orleans. Thus far, there's nothing to report on that score at this time.
Yeah, this is the Biden weave, where he weaves all kinds of things together. And this is exactly how you get stuff started online. Everyone starts freaking out. I have one more clip to play, then I want you to play your clips. This, I think, is a killer clip. This is Senator Kennedy, Joe Kennedy, the guy who's usually just funny. He's from
John Kennedy.
John Kennedy, I'm sorry. He's from Louisiana. He's down, boots on the ground. I've never seen this. He has an army jacket on with American.
He's got a funny outfit on.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I better put this on because I'm official now. I'm in official capacity. But what he said says it all.
This sounds to be some sort of sleeper cell, a terror cell on U.S. soil.
Terror cell.
Is that what you're hearing?
Well, Aisha, there's a fine line between anger and grief, and I'm pretty much straddling that line right now. If you don't believe in objective evil, all you need to do is go walk about 30 or 40 yards that way. I'm here for two reasons. Number one, these are my people, and these are my people's guests. Number two, I don't want to hear from anybody in the federal government that they don't have the resources. Now, the White House, the FBI, Justice, Homeland Security are in charge now. We're cooperating with them. I want to give them a reasonable period of time. There's a lot of information out there. Some of it is actually true. I want to give them a reasonable period of time, but they need to saddle up and ride. We need to find out what happened here, and it's not going to be covered up. We're going to tell the American people exactly what happened.
Sure.
And that's why I'm down here.
Yeah.
We know a lot more than what's being reported, Aisha, but... they are in the middle of an active investigation, and I don't want to do anything to screw it up.
Okay.
But I'm also not going to let them take the pressure off.
Okay, got it, Senator. You did promise transparency earlier in the press conference that you took part in this afternoon. Are you getting the sense that the FBI had been tracking this suspect, or are you getting the sense that they perhaps somehow missed this?
I can't answer that. I can't answer that, but I shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say it again, Aisha. We're giving the FBI and Homeland Security a reasonable amount of time to do their job.
Yeah, so that they can prove their worthiness and existence so Kash Patel can't come in and fire everybody and move the remaining to a new building. This is a script gone wrong, typical FBI bungle. They set a guy up. They want to have IEDs planted everywhere. The guy goes rogue and drives through a bunch of people. This is bull crap. This is your government. I don't believe for a second that this is ISIS inspired.
I can't argue with you. I believe this is the same thing. It was one of the FBI stings that were set up. They're expecting, you know, I'll just push this button and then we'll arrest you.
Yep.
But the guy went rogue
and
fell off the script. I mean, these guys are not that controllable necessarily.
And he had
something else. There's something going on. And the rest of this has to be a cover up. So they're going to have to cover their tracks. And that's what the.
Yeah. So this
is really going to be about.
This guy.
If we're assuming this is based on our. By the way, this is no agenda. We've been told about the 6-week cycle, and it's a very. It's been in play on and off. It's not pure, but it does exist. And it's done for budgetary purposes.
This Jabbar guy
goes wrong once in a while.
This Jabbar guy was flagged. I'm not sure what that means, and barred from reenlistment between 2014 and 2015 for an incident. I don't know what that is yet.
It'll be nice to know.
The flag was removed, and then he joined the reserves. I think was this guy also at Fort Hood or the other guy? I think the Vegas guy, another military guy, Matthew Livesberger, active duty special forces operations sergeant, who was on leave from Germany, where he was serving with the 10th Special Forces Group. This stinks.
Well, let's go to these clips here and maybe we'll get something out
of
it.
Maybe we will. Maybe.
So let's start with the local reporting. This came out, one of our producers sent this to me. It's better than the NPR stuff I had, so I bounced that and I put this in. This is ISIS. Because it has this crazy looking commissioner of police of New Orleans, is some old woman.
Wait a minute,
she looks like my mom.
No, she used to be. She's the lady who was in Oakland, and she mowed down two people herself with her car. That's who that is.
Well, that's good to know. But she looks like she's wearing a gray wig. She looks terrible, and she sounds worse. And she's in this clip, and then I have her a follow up clip with her talking more. I didn't know she's the Oakland woman.
Yes.
Yeah. She just, I don't know what's the story here, but here's the ISIS terrorist. This is the backgrounder, and it brings in the commish.
FBI is calling the deadly attack in New Orleans an act of terrorism. Hello, everybody. I'm Heather Hayes. The FBI says that suspect, who is now dead, was 42-year-old Shamsuddin Jabbar, a U.S. citizen and Army veteran from the Houston area. They do not believe he acted alone, and there is now reportedly surveillance video of other individuals who might be involved. At least 15 people are now confirmed dead, dozens of others injured, including two police officers who were shot. Fox 4 Stephen Dial in studio now. With more, Stephen.
The New Orleans police chief says Shamsuddin Jabbar drove onto the sidewalk to get around a police car that was providing security by blocking the vehicle's access to Bourbon Street, the corner of Orleans Parish, just shared that the death toll has climbed to 15 people. 3 hours into the new year, Bourbon Street in New Orleans turned into a massive crime scene.
This particular terrorist drove around onto the sidewalk.
The FBI says 42-year-old Shamsuddin Jabbar, a U.S. citizen from the Houston area, drove a white pickup truck around a police car blocking traffic and slammed into pedestrians on the crowded street. 15 people were killed, dozens injured. Federal investigators are calling this an act of terrorism.
New Orleans police and all law enforcement is built. We are built for dealing with evil, with things that would cause us, others, to be in fear. But instead, our officers, and last night, NOPD in particular, stood strong. They did not run. They did kill the terrorist.
So February 20th, 2020, Oakland Police Commission voted unanimously to fire Kirkpatrick to be fired with cause because the commission's trust in Kirkpatrick was irrevocably broken. This was a big deal. It was a lawsuit and everything over it. She's questionable.
I'd say, and then here's this is the clip. This is, I don't know why I need it number three because I can't find two. Here she is finishing her little spiel with this nonsense.
This city has been tried by fire before, but fire purifies. Fire makes things stronger. We have a plan. We know what to do. We are going to get these people. There is a path forward.
No, she's talking about these people now. So she's talking about more than just one. Not a lone wolf situation if you're talking about these people. This is all.
Yes, because they saw somebody plant some supposed IEDs, two people, a woman and a guy, and maybe another guy. And this is the whole thing is kind of falling apart. So I ended up with finding these. I went to PBS and found Lopez, a woman, had this analyst on. And this guy you'll find to be a little more interesting than the analyst you had earlier, because this guy's from the Council on Foreign Relations, worked with the CIA.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
And he's. And this is super scripted. She's reading from a script. She can't even, I don't know why they don't put a prompter behind the guy and let her read from that, because she keeps looking down. And it's very poorly executed because it was a weekend. So, or it's a holiday. So they had the holiday crew on. And so they had Lopez doing the anchoring, and she stinks at it. But here we go. This is Bourbon Street. It's a four-parter. Bourbon Street analysis, PBS.
For insight into the ongoing terrorism investigation, we're joined by Bruce Hoffman, Senior Fellow for Counterterrorism and Homeland Security at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's advised the CIA and has studied terrorism and insurgency for 5 decades.
Perfect, Bruce.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. The suspect was an Army veteran, and he had an ISIS flag in his truck, according to authorities. How significant is it that he had that ISIS flag, and what else stands out to you?
The ISIS flag is enormously significant because it's very clear he was trying to situate this act of violence in a political context, indeed in a terrorist context, and show allegiance or support of ISIS's aims.
Law enforcement has said that they don't believe that the suspect, Shamsuddin Jabbar, was acting alone. So what can we infer so far from what we know about who else might be involved or what this means?
This is what's so alarming about this particular incident, is it wasn't just a matter of someone getting in a truck and driving from Texas to Louisiana and carrying out an attack. It's believed that at least two other improvised explosive devices were found in the French Quarter of New Orleans, and that several other men and a woman have been captured on video planting them there. So this suggests some conspiratorial dimension to the attack, which means that this may not be isolated.
Right. Authorities did say in the last few hours, though, that they're not sure if that man and woman were involved or connected to the suspect. But there's a lot that we still don't know. And again, based on the information that we have so far, how likely is it that the suspect was inspired or directly linked to
inspired
ISIS?
Use the inspired word, please. He's a tenured professor at Georgetown University. Also, the director of RAND's Washington, D.C. office.
His bio is quite remarkable.
He's very connected. This is the guy you want on a holiday weekend. Hey,
I'm
not doing anything. I got time to do a hit for you, PBS.
Now, here's an interesting part. It starts to get interesting. This is the second clip. Now, I want you to think about, anyone out there should think about how these things evolve when it comes to the background information on the person who does these attacks when they're real. It takes days and days before we know anything, and their posts are usually still up, and they're trying to scrub everything off the internet as fast as they can. Now, this took place at 3:14, I think, or 3:15 in the morning. This morning of this report that we're listening to, which was probably done in the early afternoon of the same day, which was probably less than
12 hours later, maybe.
Than 12 hours, I'd like you to explain to me how this guy knows what he's about to tell us in this short a period of time.
It's difficult to say. It's clear that he was going through some personal crisis. He had financial problems, for example. He was recently divorced. He's a recent convert to a religion, for example. All of those things may have played in his mind of doing something daring, dramatic, and violent that would all of a sudden catapult him into some sort of infamous notoriety, but notoriety nonetheless, as opposed to having been a failure at everything else that he's tried. And what we know from the recruitment and radicalization of individuals is that members of terrorist organizations, handlers, play on individuals' personal weaknesses or their personal traumas and attempt to get them to engage in acts of violence that in normal circumstances they might never have contemplated.
Oh, this is perfect, because all you have to do in your mind is replace ISIS with FBI. I mean, yes, that's exactly what happens. You jack this guy up, and then all of a sudden he decides to hang a right and mow everybody down.
That's pretty much what happened. But how does this guy who's called out of, like you said, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm not skiing in Aspen or anything. I've got plenty of time. I'm just hanging around.
So he comes on the show with this detailed information about his finances and his divorces and his Army experience within a 12-hour slot, time slot, where you just get thrown on there? Mm-hmm. Come on, people.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Tina about this, and I said, I immediately said 6-week cycle. And I said, but, 15 people died. And she turns to me and says, they really don't care about us. The government doesn't care. She says, this is just 15 people. It's a spit in the bucket. And this is my wife, who is not like this normally at all. She's like, hey, look at 9/11. Okay, all right, simmer down.
Yeah, well, she's living in Texas too long. I don't believe for a minute that the FBI doesn't care if our scenario is correct, and I'm assuming it is, that this guy went rogue.
Yeah,
I just don't believe that.
The same with the kid on the roof at Butler, Pennsylvania. The same analysis. The kid decides to go and do it for real instead of getting caught. And by the way, what's with the security barriers? Oh, well, we were gonna put those in a few days. Oh, we forgot about that. This whole thing is wrong. But just remember, Inspire, Ultimate Mowing Machine, 2016, 2010. It's like we got a
I'm glad you got that clip from 2016 with this exact same thing, and with President Trump coming in.
Yep.
So let's go to the analysis starts to peter out a little bit here. So let's go with clip three.
I think the biggest question is, was this a broader conspiracy? And who are the fellow conspirators? And what conceivably might be next? I would say, secondly, it's whether that explosion, a very mysterious explosion of a cyber truck outside of a Trump-owned hotel in Las Vegas, is in any way connected to this event as well. It seems odd that two electric vehicles are involved in explosions.
Whoa, what two electric vehicles? The Ford was not an electric vehicle.
Nope. Before he got rented that thing in Houston, and it's a Ford F-150. You saw it. Everyone saw it. It's not an electric Ford. You can tell. They don't look the same.
Wow. Hold on. Step back for a second. Clip of the day. Wow, this guy is read in and flubs it.
He's read in and flubbed it.
Wow.
That was a flub.
That's a big flub.
It was a big flub, and he cracked me up when he said
wow. They're both electric vehicles. It wasn't a Ford Lightning, was it?
You could see the truck. I saw it. Photos of it. It was a Ford F-150.
Yeah, it didn't look
like it. Wasn't a 350, which he would have used if he could have rented one from, you know, using the Inspire magazine.
Wait a minute. The troll room is saying, yes, Ford F-150 Lightning? Really?
I don't think so. Let's look at the practicality of renting an electric truck in Houston and then driving it to New Orleans.
Well, then they would be able to track that through every Tesla charging station, which we did hear about the Cybertruck.
I'm just not buying that it was. Now, if it was electric, then that's the first guy. Then it makes it even more interesting. That why would he be the only guy that reported that? And why is he even reporting anything? Because he's an analyst. He's supposed to come
out. Here it is. New Orleans terror suspect used Ford Lightning. Wow. So this guy knew this already and he links it to two electric vehicles? What does that have to do with the price of matzah?
You and your matzah.
I say it on purpose. Let me listen to this guy again. Let's start that clip over.
I think the biggest question is, was this a broader conspiracy? And who are the fellow conspirators? And what conceivably might be next? I would say, secondly, it's whether that explosion, a very mysterious explosion of a cyber truck outside of a Trump-owned hotel in Las Vegas, is in any way connected to this event as well. It seems odd that two electric vehicles are involved in explosions on the same day.
Wow. This was not involved in an explosion. He says two electric vehicles were involved in an explosion. No. One exploded, one killed people on Bourbon Street.
Ramming, yeah.
Do you have a fourth clip for this guy, or is it just three?
No, that's it. That it ends there because it's just that there's nothing else.
Well, let me play this.
This is he was read in. This was scripted.
Clearly,
when you saw it, when you got to watch it visually, you can see the scripting. It was. It's actually much better in audio than it is in video, because in video it just looks like. It looks like a rehearsal.
Hold on a second. Stop. So back to our thesis. I like this. Let me pull this clip up again. This guy is good. Let me hear this again. So back to our thesis that the Bourbon Street mowing machine went rogue. He had IEDs in the truck. Perhaps the plan was to have two IEDs explode in electric vehicles, because that's what this guy is saying. He says, gee, isn't it coincidence that you have two electric vehicles exploding on the same day? That might have been the original plan before the Bourbon Street mowing machine went rogue. Listen to this last bit again from this guy.
Outside of a Trump-owned hotel in Las Vegas is in any way connected to this event as well. It seems odd that two electric vehicles are involved in explosions on the same day.
Oh, he had the old script. He didn't realize the script had changed. Why would you say that? There was no explosion on Bourbon Street. Now, maybe it was planned.
I like the idea of being the old script, because he obviously knows too much. For a guy who was just dragged out of bed remembering again, this took place 6 to 12 hours just before this guy shows up in the studio as the superstar expert with connections to the CIA and connections to the Council on Foreign Relations and being and doing this for 50 years. This guy's 70s, he's in his 70s. Wow. So he's been a terrorism expert for 50 years. So he's the go-to guy. And he'd be dragged out of bed. I'm going to use that. I just like it. Because it's a holiday.
Yeah.
Being dragged out of bed and then put in front of the camera. And he has all this information and he's reciting it. And when you watch the two of these interchange, Lopez and this guy, it just looks rehearsed as hell.
And then we have this connection that everybody made, including our president.
A blast that in seconds turned this Tesla Cybertruck into a ball of flames. Parked outside the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas, it is now a charred carcass of a vehicle. Carcass. Investigators are looking into whether the explosion was an act of organized terrorism. Elon Musk, Tesla's CEO and a strong supporter of President-elect Donald Trump, confirmed online that explosives and fireworks were found in the bed of the truck, and that the vehicle's data seemed normal prior to the blast. The timing of the incident is also of concern for investigators, as it occurred just hours after a car rammed into revelers in New Orleans. President Biden said an investigation is ongoing, but that no link had been found between the two events.
And the intelligence community are investigating this as well, including whether there's any possible connection with the attack in New Orleans. Thus far, there's nothing to report on that score at this time.
The investigation did find that both vehicles were rented on the same car-sharing site, Turo. In a statement, Turo said it was working with law enforcement. A troubling coincidence or linked events? Las Vegas' sheriff also confirmed that they do not believe the two attacks were the work of a major terrorist organization.
Yeah, so the question is there any links to ISIS? And I will tell you that we don't have any indication of that here in Las Vegas. No overt ISIS flag as was seen in New Orleans. But again, we are investigating every aspect of this. And if that comes to light, we'll certainly update you.
With the area under tight security, the FBI said the driver of the rented Tesla died in the blast.
And a reminder that we had a so-called terrorist attack also set up by FBI with Omar Mateen of the Pulse nightclub in Florida in 2016 when Trump just came in. This is what these crazy people do. Oh, yeah, let's make ourselves really relevant for this for the president coming in. We got terrorists, ISIS in America, everybody. It's disgusting. And they do the same script. They forget that the No Agenda show has the clips.
We have all your
clips.
We
have your clips. That's troubling.
You know, it's quite annoying.
Yeah.
And then you get these poor innocents that just get killed. I have the Trump casino incident NTD clip. This is a part of this this is how the NTD reports on the casino explosion at the Trump Hotel in Vegas.
Over in Las Vegas, one person was killed and seven more were injured when a Tesla Cybertruck exploded in front of the Trump Hotel earlier today. Just a warning, some viewers may find the following footage disturbing due to its graphic nature. Authorities say the car caught fire in the valet area of the hotel around 8:40 a.m. local time. A person died inside the vehicle. Seven bystanders received minor injuries and were taken to a hospital for treatment. Police are investigating the incident as a possible act of terror. No cause was given and details remain scarce. This is a developing story and we'll keep you updated.
You know, Musk came out with a tweet about the initial, there's Brunetti sent some notes around. You got one that he believes it was fireworks that this guy was hauling around to blow up locally, which you can do. But if there was a bomb or anything, which Musk kind of thinks there was, and he was bragging about the strong sides of the Tesla truck is so rugged and well built that the explosion could only go up.
Yes.
And it couldn't go out to the sides and do any damage. And then he pointed out that even the windows of the doors right there weren't even broken. This whole thing is just, I think the initial thesis that this is a botched operation.
And then we need to add this little ditty to it.
to some breaking news now. The FBI arresting a Virginia man earlier this month after finding what prosecutors describe as the largest seizure of homemade explosives in Bureau history. In court documents, prosecutors say Brad Kenneth Spafford is an extreme danger to the community, and they're trying to keep him in jail. They say he had a stockpile of more than 150 pipe bombs, with some preloaded into a wearable vest. Let's get right to our Ken Delaney. And Ken, what is Spafford charged with right now? What else did investigators say they found?
As of now, Valerie, he's only charged with illegally possessing a short-barreled unregistered rifle. But it seems pretty clear they're planning more charges. They were arguing to this federal judge that he should not be released on bond because he's a danger to the community, not only because they recovered that massive cache of explosives, but because he appears to be an anti-government extremist. They said that he was using pictures of President Biden for target practice, and he talked to a neighbor about bringing back political assassinations. So he appears to have some very extreme beliefs, and the federal government wants him behind bars. That's where he is right now while a judge considers the evidence, Valerie.
Yeah, of course, we don't know much about this case, but I do like the idea of incarcerating him for the thought crime, because that's basically what it is. You know, what's up with these? Did he really have IEDs in a vest? I mean, this is all sketchy details at this point, but the only...
It sounds like it's very poorly organized, but I mean, was he shooting at target practicing with Biden? I mean, really? Well, that's elite,
well,
probably.
That's all according to the neighbor.
Okay. Yeah.
And then here's the lawyer.
And Ken, what is his lawyer saying about all of this?
Well, his lawyer is pushing back strongly against the idea that he's a danger to the community. He hasn't spoken specifically to the seizures of explosives, but he's saying that the idea that this man is dangerous and an anti-government extremist is overblown and concocted, and there's no evidence of that.
No evidence.
And initially, a judge ruled that he could be released with electronic monitoring, but the prosecutors urged that judge to reconsider, and he remains behind bars at this hour.
Yeah, at this hour, because he's good for the story. It's good for everybody to get all spun up and all excited about it. Yeah. Well, there you go. Lone Wolf, the Lone Wolf are back, or is it? Is it just the Lone Wolf, or we have an actual?
Lone Wolf.
We got this. We used this Lone Wolf howl for the first time in 2011. 2011, the first time we used that. Yeah, and then just so you know, we've been down this path so many times.
Oh, we have repeated.
ISIS. We will follow them to the gates of hell. ISIS. I feel good.
ISIS in America, everybody. That's right. That's the whole point. Just keep thinking that. ISIS in America.
So... changing topics, but not changing complete topics. So I do have this Musk clip, as we talked about Musk, because it confirms your, well, I think we both agree on this, but
I love my ex timeline. People are like, yo man, Curry was right, man. Curry been talking about this for years. Yeah,
Musk
for
has been,
years.
The thing is, Curry's been talking about it for years, but Musk has been talking about it
himself.
Longer.
I know.
That's where Curry got it from.
Yeah, exactly.
The CEO of social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, teasing X TV, X Money, and more in 2025.
Yeah, for what
Elon Musk wants to be in everything app.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino posted, 2025 X will connect you in ways never thought possible. X-TV, X-Money, Grok, and more. Buckle up. Happy New Year.
The X app is going to be the way you manage your life. I mean, that's what Elon's really got envisioned for it.
Business consultant Bob Bilbrook says many forget that Elon Musk was behind PayPal, so he's very familiar with mobile payments.
No, we don't forget
It'll
that.
It'll be like click and go. Click and buy. Every message, every tweet will have, you know, the ability to be monetized, and obviously that's the big secret sauce here.
Musk has talked about heavily disrupting finance. He told employees back in 2023, If it involves money, it'll be on our platform. You won't need a bank account. Oh, in 2022, nice. He told employees that X could potentially disrupt the traditional financial system, mm-hmm. which he calls complex and expensive. Saying a person has a checking account, a savings account, or some bank CDs and a money market account and a credit card situation. Musk suggested that if you can have one balance on Twitter that can simply go positive or negative, giving you a better interest rate when positive than what you could receive elsewhere, and a better lower interest rate when negative, you've got a much simpler system.
They're going to assassinate Musk someday. The banking industry is not going to take this lightly. No.
That's a good point. The banking industry... Yes. Well, if anyone's seen the movie, a good movie, I would recommend, go check it out. It's very funny. Well, not funny, but it's kind of, it's interesting. It's called The International.
Ah, it's a great movie. Isn't that with, what's that actor's name?
Well, people in the troll room will come up with the actor's name, but it's a tremendous film, and it's about...
Clive Owen. That's who
yeah, Clive Owen. It's a very... It's just a terrific film about for people that...
BCCI, right? The bank?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just about... Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about digital money, Fifi Lagarde came out. She is, of course, convicted of crimes in France, but doesn't matter. That's why she went from the International Monetary Fund to the president, the boss over there at the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, if you will, of the European Union. And she wished everybody a happy 2025. You know, things are great. Of course, things are great. It's going to be even better. And just wait.
I want to wish all of you a happy new year. Happy, healthy, prosperous 2025.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a big, heavy agenda at the ECB.
Heavy agenda.
We have made significant progress in 24 in bringing down inflation.
Yeah, yeah. Ask my daughter about that inflation that you brought down.
And hopefully 25 is the year when we are on target as expected and as planned in our strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we will continue our efforts to ensure that that inflation stabilizes sustainably at that 2% medium-term target. We will also be reviewing our monetary policy strategy. Why do we do that?
Yes, why do you do that? I thought you already did that.
Just did that in 21. Well, we're doing it to ensure that it still fits the changing world in which we live. And that...
This is changing fast.
Now here it comes. Here comes the money shot.
We are fit for 25 and following. Another significant development on the horizon is our digital euro.
Woo!
We are in the preparation phase, and we are expecting European legislation. Once that is done, we will decide whether we move forward with developing a digital form of cash.
Uh-huh.
Your digital euro.
Your digital... She's already doing the slogan. Your digital euro. Don't worry, it's coming, Europe.
And you know, we are also working on banknotes. We are in the process of redesigning our banknotes.
This is interesting.
It's a long-standing exercise that will not be completed in 25, but significant moves will take place with the design
plastic
phase. It reflects a commitment to innovation, while also preserving the trust and security that our currency represents, both in banknote form and in digital form.
So when you said talk about the security in banknote form, I'm thinking, yes, plastic, embedded with some kind of tracking mechanism. Guarantee you that she's crazy. Those people are crazy.
Oh, she is crazy, but I don't think you can make that work.
Well, I'm just hearing what she's saying.
All you have to do, okay.
And do you think
so
Musk...
So we got a bunch of plastic bills.
Mm-hmm.
They're either good or they're bad. You take the bill and you put it in the microwave and give it about 15 seconds.
Yes.
That'll blow out anything in there that's a circuit.
Yeah, but then it won't be valid currency when you go to pay.
No, it will be. There's no way they could invalidate the currency for that happening, because that could happen
course.
By accident.
What are you talking about? This is exactly what's going
I'm
to happen.
I'm holding a bill that says 20 euros. You give
yes.
me my money.
And the way the new cash registers work is you hold up the bill against the little sensor. And it says, okay, this is that bill. We know who has that bill. You have.
And if that's the case, you don't need bills at all. You might as well have it embedded in the palm of your hand.
Yes. Well, hello. Hello, Mark of the Beast. Thank you for taking us there. In the palm of your hand. Exactly. And do you think that Fifi's going to let Elon use X money in Europe? I don't think so. There's no way. In communist China, yeah, of course, you can use the everything app, In Europe, communist Europe? You got to use the digital euro, my brother. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen for whatever reason.
Well, that digital euro is coming. I believe that. I fully believe that. Yeah,
they're going to try. Everyone wants to do these things.
Fully believe that's happening. Fully believe it. Of course, we have our own fun here in the United States. We've been tracking this for over a decade on the show.
Let's start with some of these new travel requirements that are supposed to be coming in 2025. And one of them we've been talking about, it feels like, for about 20 years.
We have, literally, right? But TSA says 2025 is the year we're going to get real, y'all, as in the real ID.
We're going to get real, y'all.
Sure. May?
Come on. I'll believe it when I see it.
You got to be, if you're 18 and up, May 7th, bring a real ID to travel domestically in the U.S. This is part of an effort to make sure everything is secure federally. If you do not have a real ID, you can use your passport. But here's what it looks like. You may already have one. Maybe the last time you renewed your driver's license, it has a little star at the top. There you go, in the upper right-hand corner. That's how you know if you have a real ID. Check your state DMV for how to do it. Now, if you are going to the United Kingdom, this is real, and it's happening next week, January 8th. You have to have an electronic travel authorization, an ETA, for travel in the United Kingdom. I know.
So I know.
What does that mean?
I know.
It's instead of a visa, and it means that it's good for 2 years, and you can go where you need to go in the UK. But you need to get on and figure that out, because they're not going to let you go to the UK without. The other thing that you're going to need if you're traveling to Europe, 30 countries, including places like France, Germany, Spain, is this ETIAS, the ETIAS, the European Travel Information Authorization System.
Money that gouge.
Date technically is TBD, but it's for 2025. You have to pay €7, and then that puts you into the system. You register online. And that will allow you to travel to 30 European countries and territories.
So in reverse order, that it's the European version of our ESTA. ESTA, I think it's called ESTA, E-E-S-T-A. If you're coming from Europe, you have to pay, I think it's $7, maybe, funny enough, and have an ESTA. It's like a visa. You do it online. And now they're saying, oh, you got to do it for us too, Americans. You want
to
come over here?
When you go to Japan, you have to pay to get out of the country.
Yes, that's right. With cash. With cash.
Yeah, with cash.
You have to pay with cash. I know. It's like, oh, do you have any bills? Oh, can't let you out. Yeah, you got to do that when you leave. And, of course, the real ID.
You're right. This is just a gouge.
Yeah.
It's just like nickel and diming the traveling public.
The real ID.
This is the same, by the way, the same gouging which has been taking... took over the hotel business with all these phony baloney fees. Mm-hmm. It's taken over the rental car business with all these phony baloney fees. There's fees for parking, the reparking the car back in the lot. There's a fee. There's a fee for the rental asphalt. There's a fee. I mean, it says it's $19 a day, but it ends up being $50 a day because of all these fees. This is unbelievable that this is continuing at this clip.
Then the real ID, of course, that is just to solidify.
Let me stop you there again. When we started following the real ID story, which was over 10 years ago, there was an outcry amongst the conservatives in particular and the Republicans and everybody. Yep. Oh, my God, they're trying to track us all.
Yep.
They just wanted, there's just a way of maintaining, you know, control of the public. And they went, and there was a big fuss about it.
Yep.
And no one was buying it. Now, all of a sudden, it's fine. What changed?
Oh, yeah. Well, what changed is that when you go through TSA, they take your driver's license and now it will be certified with, it is in Texas, with the real ID. And that means the picture we have on you, which will expedite your journey with facial recognition, will be all certified. This is already here. The test they did is already grandfathered in. It's not a test. They just went through it, going to Europe and back. It's all facial recognition, all of it. It's here. And it's all going up to Starlink. Elon has control of all of it.
Elon. It's not going up to Starlink.
It's all going up to Starlink. That'll be the only internet you can get.
This is the Texas, the Fredericksburg coming out in you every so. Pretty soon you're going to be gone. You know that.
I'll be toast.
You'll be toast.
Not quite as toasty as the Cuomo kid who did a New Year's prediction for 2025 that I think we need to listen to because, you know, it's Chris Cuomo. Let's be honest. The guy knows what he's talking about.
Oh,
I hope 2025 is everything you wanted it to be.
How do we know? We just started. I'm Chris Cuomo. Welcome to the Chris Cuomo Project. I'm going to do something that I don't really ever do. Make predictions. And I'm bringing in for the help with this segment, the one and only, the inimitable, the new daddy, Mr. Greg Ott, not real name, my producer. Okay, I've got a prediction.
Number one.
The Podscape is going to change.
The Podscape is going to change, John. I think we should pay attention. The Podscape.
I didn't know there was a Podscape, but okay.
It's news to me as well, but it's now the Podscape.
And the people who were at the top last year will not be at the top all of this year.
The Podscape is changing.
This is pertinent to the podcast. This is a podcast you're presumably watching.
Here's what has happened, okay? Now,
okay,
money rushed in.
He says okay more than anybody else in broadcasting.
He does. He does. He also does the why. He does that a lot, too.
Yeah. He does the why. Yeah. Why? The
why? Why? Because I got no one to ask me why. I'm just going to say why.
Okay. Now, okay. Money rushed into the pod space and tons of.
Now it's pod space. What happened to Podscape? I like Podscape.
What happened to Podscape?
Yes, Podscape. I like Podscape. Don't do pod space.
Okay. Now. Okay. Money rushed into the pod space and tons of big and bad deals were made in the last 5 years. That money has dried up. There's an aphorism in investing. You never want to be first dollar in. First dollar in got killed. People were given a lot of money for their podcast and people have gone broke. They've been bad deals. Kind of like what
who went broke? Who went broke over this? Did Spotify go broke? No. They spent $1 billion poorly, but they didn't go broke. Did Amazon?
Nobody went broke.
Did Amazon go broke over hiring those numbnuts with the what is their the podcast that has the presidents on all the time? No,
I don't listen to these podcasts.
All right,
yeah, well, nobody went broke hiring Alex Cooper's the other big money maker.
No,
and
no.
Gimlet got bought out, but that was by Spotify. Who went broke? Nobody. I mean, Gimlet got closed down after they got bought out. So how do you go broke? You get here's $100 million. We have to shut you down.
Okay.
Well, okay. Does that you going broke? You got $100 million. Give me a break.
Dollar in. First dollar in got killed. People were given a lot of money for their podcast and people have gone broke. They've been bad deals.
Let me just check. Joe, are you broke? Are you broke, Joe? Joe, are you broke? Joe says he's not broke.
Kind of like what happened when Sirius thought that having Howard Stern would make them like a household thing. Hasn't happened, just made him really rich. But it's not like Sirius is everywhere now, right? They're just mainly in like rental cars. Second dollar in with the Podscape. With this election, people now know that you can get bang for your buck and you can get reach and resonance. And I'm telling you, on the right and on the anti-institutional side, you're going to do a lot better than Joe Rogan and his merry band of, you know, cut rate comedians.
Okay, so now Chris Cuomo is saying that Joe Rogan, I'm going to defend Joe a little bit here, who in the week before the election had President Trump on, had Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, had Vivek on, had Elon Musk, that he is just a merry band of comedians? That's what you're saying, Chris Cuomo? Okay, who is going to usurp this top spot?
And I'm not saying that those guys will disappear.
Can you stop for a second?
Yeah.
There's I was noticing this. There is the left has been talking about this. What Cuomo is, despite his trying to be neutral, is still influenced greatly by the left.
He is invited to the dinner parties. He goes
there all the time.
Yes.
The talk of the town is what we've got to do to fix our messaging, because they don't see that their messages are just bad. You know, the trans agenda and all the other crap they
trans
come up
Maoist,
with.
Trans Maoist.
Trans Maoist. The the defund the police. They still don't get any of it. They still think this is all good if they could sell it. The problem is that they can't message it right. And so one of the things you hear over and over and over again is all we need to do, and we can do this, we can do it, is we need a left-wing Joe Rogan.
Yes, and thank you very much, because you are ahead of my clips here, but that's good.
because that is exactly what Chris Cuomo is talking about. And I'm sure he will be a part of it. And I can also tell you who is going to be doing it. And Chris Cuomo. And
before you continue, I have one more little addition to this. This is the same way they were thinking when Rush Limbaugh hit the scene, starting in 87. They said all we needed to do was do a left-wing version of Rush Limbaugh, and they came up with Air America.
and Rachel Maddow.
And Rachel Maddow, who did she did survive.
Yes,
but.
Yes. Oh, well, let's see who is going to be part of this new leaders of the podscape.
And I'm not saying that those guys will disappear, but you're going to see better, bigger talent come in. Like what?
Like what? He even asked, like what? He doesn't know.
He's interviewing himself.
This is so good. I'm just going to do that. Tina, I love you. Why? Well, let me tell you why. I mean, this is amazing.
Bigger talent come in. Like what? A guy like a Bill Burr.
Lefty, Bill Burr, lefty. Oh, sorry. I went nuts. I'm sorry. Bill Burr, lefty.
Is going to get enticed into that space. A guy like Louis C.K.
Lefty. These are leftist comedians.
C.K.
Bill Burr has a podcast.
But I'm saying ramping it up, that there's going to be money that puts it into a sphere where he's sitting with major people, as opposed to it just being an and. That's what I'm saying. Instead of it just being like an end to what Bill Burr does, it's going to be his thing, okay? Stephen A. Smith is going to explode on the landscape.
I don't know. Do you know Stephen? Stephen A. Smith,
the black guy that that is a sportscaster who's a lefty, but he's actually more of a righty recently. He's actually going toward Trump. And he's on the Mark Levin TV show on Fox all the time as his buddy.
But if someone gave him enough money, he would go right back to being lefty. I'm just guessing.
Well, that may or may not be true, but Stephen A. Smith is one of those personalities that you only take so much of. He's good, but he's not tolerable over... You can't just
No, none of these people are going to do what Joe Rogan does. No,
he's full of shit. Okay, you're right.
But let's continue.
Stephen A. Smith is going to explode on the landscape of conversation.
Oh, so clearly we already know something. There's a deal has already been done with Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Okay.
And again, no disrespect to...
Okay. We're never going to get through these questions.
And again, no disrespect to Rogan. You must give him his props for building a platform. Good for him. But now you're going to have better talent in that space.
Okay. Okay. He's going to now the better talent in that space, which is the pod space, also known as the podscape. The whole time he's talking, I'm seeing behind Cuomo a beautiful YouTube award, which you get for being beautiful on YouTube. And now in this final clip, it all unrolls for me, at least, because I've been tracking this push for a long time. Google, aka YouTube, is going to be financing a whole Air America of podcasting comedians on video. And Chris Cuomo knows about it. He knows what's going down, and I think he's going to be part of it.
It's just to piggyback on that, this came out recently that more people are watching podcasts now on YouTube, and you've been doing this. This podcast dropped first on YouTube. You, from the beginning, were like...
So the producer sets him up for it.
Hey, let's put myself online. People want to see me.
It. Of course he's in on it. So he sets it up.
Oh, this is a money... It's a money grab. Good for them.
Oh, yeah.
Just to piggyback on that, this came out recently that more people are watching podcasts now on YouTube, and you've been doing...
Which, by the way, is patently not true, but okay.
This podcast...
And wait, stop. You would know.
I would know. Thank you.
You are the expert that never gets consulted on these matters, and I bring this up all the time because it's kind of a thorn in both of our claws.
More yours.
Well, I'm the one who keeps bringing it up because you don't want to, but I'll bring it up.
Yep.
You are never consulted on this, even though you're responsible largely for the platform even existing.
There you go.
Enough said.
People are watching podcasts now on YouTube, and you've been doing this. This podcast dropped first on YouTube. Dropped. You, from the beginning, dropped. Were like, hey, let's put myself online. People want to see me and hear me, so it's like, you know, one product in one. But it's the confluence is interesting to me.
Hold on, stop. I'm sorry. They want to see me and hear me. What is this? they don't necessarily want to see you. No, or anybody. I don't even like looking at Cuomo.
This is the marketing. This is the mark. And by the way, Spotify tried to get in on this action, and they've so far failed to launch properly for a whole bunch of reasons. But they know that YouTube is doing this push. And I guarantee you there's going to be big money from Google/YouTube going to leftist, if not complete left wing. They're going to do Air America on YouTube. And YouTube doesn't have an audio platform. They have a video platform, and this is what they're doing.
Hey, let's put myself online. People want to see me and hear me, so it's like, you know, one product in one. But it's the confluence is interesting to me of like this thing you used to listen to. It's like, well, it's quite easy to get a setup, you know, in your house like this and broadcast in a very DIY way. And people are now, you know, especially a lot of the YouTube stats are more people are watching things on their televisions, and thus you sit down and watch a show. It's kind of replacing talk shows. We talked about this before, but like, yeah,
that's also bullcrap.
Prediction 1A is you will see mergers in stream platforms.
Okay, Rumble, get ready to be bought.
I went to YouTube early because I believe video kills the radio star.
listen to what he's saying. He believes video killed the radio star.
I went to YouTube early because I believe video kills the radio star.
No, you went to YouTube early because you're in on this complete gambit. Good for you, by the way. Good for you.
People want to see more than they want to listen. I'm not telling you not to listen. Look, it's not my thing. I do an audiobook every now and then. I'd rather read, but I want to see. Why? Because
I'm a
visual learner, and you take so much more in from people when you're actually seeing them.
Yes, when you... The way people listen to podcasts on YouTube is the YouTube app with it closed in their pocket while it's playing. That is the true numbers. People are listening to them on YouTube. That's what happens. Do you want to watch it with Trump? Yeah, you probably want to watch it with Trump. But what he's saying here is not true. He's parroting the exact YouTube propaganda/marketing they've been rolling out for the past 3 years at conferences, everywhere. There's podcasts. Oh, you got to come. Got to have video. Without videos, nothing. People want to see it. This is the big YouTube push.
Obviously, reading.
Let me stop again. So this commentary that the video killed the radio star, it only refers to
MTV. It refers to the Buggles.
It refers to radio drama and radio anything that was radio pre 87 when radio took over the talk show game on the right. The right wingers all figured it out that radio yakkers on radio, yakkers, and the call-in shows were replaced the old radio. Video has not replaced those guys. When Rush Limbaugh tried to do TV, he did it two or three times.
It was horrible.
And it turned out that Rush Limbaugh were talking for 3 hours. 3 hours a day, every day, was much more effective, just pure audio.
And
so
he made $400 million a year with that radio program. $400 million a year.
He was making a lot of money. And he did get a $400 million deal. I don't know if it wasn't per year.
Yes, it was. I had the same syndicators. I know what they were doing.
He was making plenty of money.
Yeah.
And the point is that the video has never killed that aspect of it. When it comes to talking, the talk show format, you don't want video. It doesn't work.
All right, 21 seconds left. We can do it.
Obviously, reading them texts, you get the least context, the least feel. Hearing their voice, you get more, but seeing them and hearing them. So
this is YouTube. This is YouTube's marketing.
To me, it's a no-brainer. But what you will see, prediction 1A, is consolidation in platforms. Because the problem right now is there are too many different places that you have to go and you need to monetize. And they are going to start buying each other up.
Yeah, okay. YouTube is going on a buying spree. They're doing exactly what Spotify did, which, by the way, I think will be a mistake. They will have exclusives to YouTube, and it's going to be these comedians that you just heard. Chris Cuomo will have a part of it. He may even have a network deal, you know, so-called Chris Cuomo Truth Network or whatever. And YouTube, and of course, Google's in with the Democrat Party. They're in on it.
No, they're Democrats.
They're Democrats.
Big time, and they're propaganda propagandistic
Democrats. But I'm going to tell you that this will not work. This is a flawed strategy.
We already can tell this, yeah. But I want to mention something. I don't think Chris Cuomo going on and on about theorizing about podcasting when he's been a broadcaster all his life is so loaded with bull crap. He's just full of it. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He doesn't. Oh, man. It's great, though. It's great. So he's in on it. He's in on the YouTube deal. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, not financial advice, but I would think Rumble would be bought up. I don't think Brighteon is on deck for an acquisition. But this is
BitChute.
This is exactly what Spotify did, and it's flawed. It's flawed.
Why?
I'm going to start doing that. I don't need you anymore. It's flawed. Why? It's flawed because people are already burning out on the format. The format that Joe Rogan solidified, and Joe still does well, is now Lex Friedman, it's Theo Vaughn, it's going to go on and on and on and on, and people get tired of the guests, they get tired. There's only so much room in people's lives for a three-hour conversation. And yeah, the format,
Rogan owns that space.
I think he does. Yes.
And he's got a great interviewing style because it's is super casual. It's down to earth. He's got this chops to do it. He knows what he's doing. He keeps the conversation moving. He seems inquisitive in a way that I think the public is the same. It feels the same way he does when he has his inquisitive style or his inquisitive questioning. He's got that locked down. That's his. He's not going anywhere.
No.
And these other guys are just trying to, you know, everyone wants to be the next Joe Rogan. No, you got Joe Rogan. Be the next something else.
Well, but they from history that they want to have the Rush Limbaugh on the left. They want the Joe Rogan of the left. They thought it was Call Her Daddy. Massive fail. But
Alex does is talk about blowjobs. If you've ever listened to her show, she's preoccupied with it.
I don't listen to
her. Well, I have, and yes. It's because I look for those little end of show mic clips, yeah, which yeah. I collect, and she's got the right voice for it, and her old partner Sophia with an F, who is actually does a better show than Alex does, because she's not. I mean, they're both these girls are perverted, but. Which makes it kind of interesting.
I think a lot of comedians need to think long and hard about what they do between now and the kickoff of this new network. I don't know what they're going to call it, but it will be the YouTube. We'll just call it Air America on YouTube. Whitney Cummings, as an example, who I think is a fine comedian, she blew all her chances during the New Year's Eve coverage by CNN, which is basically two gay guys and a ball dropping. It's Anderson Cooper.
And also that big ball in Times Square.
Yes, exactly. So she roasted 2024, and here's what she said, very short.
2024 election fried our brains. The Democrats couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding a body upright. Are we still rolling? Am I off?
Go for it.
It was amazing that the pro-choice party didn't give their voters one when it came to the presidential candidate. Kamala was forced on us so hard you'd think she was patented by Pfizer or Moderna, whichever one's... Oh, God. Andy just gave me a very scary look.
No!
Yeah, she's disinvited from the party.
A little disparaging comment about Pfizer, you're done.
About Pfizer, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. I mean, no, yeah, I think you kind of ruined your chances there.
Well, she's out of the party circuit.
Yes, she is. So anyway, that's what we have. That's what we have to look forward to for 2025. It's going to be a hootenanny. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
No, it's not.
And so when do we...
It's going to be a lot of similar shows competing with each other for the same guests and the same talking points. Yes. And it's going to be... It's like those giant networks. These guys set them up and there's one show after another. Nobody listens to any of them because they're all this basically the same format. They're dumb.
Yes, they are. It's completely dumb. The whole thing is dumb. Oh, man. Yeah, take us somewhere else, John. Let's do something else. Why?
Because yeah, I asked you. Since it's New Year's, I do have a couple New Year's things. This is all over the place.
Oh.
Have you heard about the Kumari method?
The KonMari method?
KonMari. K-O-N-M-A-R-I method.
No.
It's in Good Housekeeping. It's in every magazine. This is the big thing for 2025. It's a cleaning method, which appeals to me, at least in basis, because it has like, oh, well, maybe I can clean up my office. And it's a big deal for 2025. We can probably have two clips. One longer than the other, but this is the this introduces it, the KonMari method.
And there's no time like the start of a new year to finally organize your home. The KonMari method of home organizing just might be what you need to put your home in order once and for all. The simple methodology created by Japanese tidying guru Marie Kondo asks homemakers to sort through every individual item they own. You figure out whether or not each one brings you joy, determining what to keep and how to store it. Kondo recommends doing this by category, beginning with clothing, then books, paperwork, miscellaneous items, and finally, mementos. NTD's Chris Spears wanted to find out what it's like to actually do this, so he met with film history teacher David Grotto, who did the KonMari method with the help of a KonMari consultant.
Okay, this is a repackaging of Marie Kondo's method, which has been around for years. This
is
not
really
new.
It's really been popular, right? You're right, repackaged.
It's not new, and by the way, if I may, the Marie Kondo method of packing your suitcase is one that my wife, the keeper, follows. And it's a very interesting method. Consisting
of, please explain.
It consists of rolling everything up. You roll things up into a tube. And again, she is the best packer. This is what attracted me to her. She is one of the best packers in the universe.
That's how she got the nickname that I gave her.
That's correct. That's how she got the keeper, because she can pack a suitcase. I have arguments with my wife, my beautiful Tina Marie, every single time. We go to Europe. She says, well, I want to get into one suitcase, but, you know, there's a lot. I said, well, can we take two suitcases? She says, no, I don't want to have a suitcase that is half full. She literally has a problem with packing a suitcase half full. She wants to try and get it all into one.
That good for her.
It's amazing. I mean,
if you've ever traveled with somebody who overpacks.
We're paying for two. I said, we're paying for two suitcases. We can take two. It's prepaid.
You should put an online advertisement. You'll be shipping goods. And you can use the second suitcase for product. Goods,
for product and profit. All right, the KonMari method. We go to
clip. So the KonMari method, which is outlined in the second half of the clip, and it goes on forever, but I ended it after this longish clip.
Yes.
Give me a break. It's a way that would summarize.
Okay.
You have an item. I've got this item. Let me look at my desk right here. Okay.
Find an item. Yes, a random item.
I got an item. Yeah. It's this little noisemaker.
Yes.
So the noisemaker, if it gives me joy.
Yes, you keep it.
I keep it.
Yes.
That's basically all there is to it.
Yes. If it gives you joy, keep it. If not, it's out.
Well, it gives me joy. Hey, there's a modem going off, huh? Hey.
More importantly, it gives me joy. It gives everybody joy to hear your noisemakers. Your office should just be a desk, a computer, and a lot of noisemakers. Nothing else gives you joy like those noisemakers. That's the go-to gift for John C. Dvorak. Yeah, what should I give Grandpa? A noisemaker?
We had one of our producer females that was sending me a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one sent me this, the thunder things and... A lot of this came from her. She stopped. I think she stopped listening to the show.
Well, because of the noisemakers, obviously. Here we go.
I have too much stuff. I'm kind of a pack rat, especially with books.
Okay, stop right away. And I'm going to this will be my last interruption. This guy who's some teacher, and he's moved into a small New York apartment. He's got too much junk. He is sitting in a chair that is the size of a room. It's a big, giant chair. That is taking up half the space of his apartment, and he's sitting in this thing as they're interviewing him on video. And I'm thinking, if you got rid of that chair, you'd have plenty of room for everything. But okay, anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. Go.
I have too much stuff. I'm kind of a pack rat, especially with books, records, and memorabilia things. And so it just got out of control. I mean, the apartment is overrun already with stuff. And, you know, I felt like I was in danger of being one of those hoarders.
David moved into his New York City apartment in 2018. He emptied a lifetime worth of stuff from his storage locker into his small space. With the ensuing clutter, he knew he had to do something about it.
Originally, I just thought, I want to hide everything and make it just neat, you know. But then I discovered that I really had to let go of stuff.
To help him do that, David hired professional home organizer Hiroko Watanabe. She uses the KonMari tidying method and is a certified master KonMari consultant.
I mean, I don't know how it is for other people, but I can't imagine anyone doing this all just on their own, just by reading Marie Kondo's book or watching her show. I can't imagine anybody really doing this without some, you know, help.
On day one with a new client, Hiroko goes through a sort of ritual where she kneels in the middle of the space in the house, quietly closes her eyes, and does what she calls greeting the home, where she sort of introduces herself and asks the home to support the client in the process of becoming and staying organized. Then she goes through a process of helping the client come up with a vision for their ideal lifestyle, and this simple vision helps guide the entire organizing journey.
The KonMari method is very unique method, and choose what you want to greet keep the space. Is by touching the item, and if the item is a spark joy or not, and if that item is not spark joy, let it go.
Spark of joy?
And when you let it go, let it go with gratitude.
What a great business. This is one of the best business ideas for 2025. If you're looking to get into a new business, go and greet the home at the people who you're going to help organize. Be a professional home organizer. I believe this has a great future. It helps if you're Asian, so you can spark a joy. This is crazy. This is great. Spark a joy.
You're racist.
Yes, I'm racist. If it's spark a joy, you keep it. Very good. I'm Marie Kondo method, please. All right. Then let me do the last of the 2025 predictions. I wouldn't have played this if it wasn't on the BBC. It's actually predictions for up to 2050, because this old coot can apparently see that. I don't think he'll be with us in 2050, but here's what it's going to be. Get ready, everybody.
Let's look forward. Can you paint a picture for us of what, if we survived, and perhaps we will in this new world to 2125, what our world would be like?
Well, let's just look at 2050 first, because that really gives us
this guy's good.
Just how far away 100 years is going to be. 2050 is only 25 years away. We will have direct links between our brains and computers by then. And by then, the computers will be hundreds or maybe even millions of times smarter than we are, with their very advanced conscious AIs. And if you've got access to that, it basically multiplies your IQ by about 1,000. You just add an extra 2 or 3 digits onto your IQ. In the same time frame, we have the ability to link your brain to the computer so well that 99% of your thoughts will happen inside the computer. And when your body dies of old age and you get cremated, it doesn't really matter. You can just carry on using the 99% which you've already got running in the computers. Go back to work on Monday morning, hire an Android, and you're back in the real world. So that's the kind of world we're looking at in 2050. You will have virtually electronic immortality, vastly superhuman IQs, and you'll even start to get some basic superpowers, because you can modify your genetics in the 2050 timeframe too.
So the second business idea for 2025 is become a futurologist. Just get business cards, print it up, futurologist, and you can get on the BBC and spout stuff like this.
That is outrageous. The guy with the butterfly net should go pick him up immediately. If you're gonna do this, wait, I've got a topper.
No, but I'm trying to get to the break here.
You're gonna get to the break right after this.
Okay.
Because I got 3 clips.
Oh no.
Yes. This is the big thing they're doing now. This is all over the place, and they have it on different.
Wait a minute. You just said that about Marie Kondo, which was a repackage of 5 years ago.
Same thing. This is the repackage of what happens every year. But this time NPR is going to an extreme, and they're pushing the hell out of this. dry January.
Oh, yeah, dry January. Yeah.
Now, so I have three clips, and this will take us right out of here because the last clip is a dynamite one.
Okay.
It would still go right. You don't even have to do a joke after it. But okay. Here we go. Dry Jan.
Dry January, when people take a break from drinking alcohol for the month, has become a popular practice at the start of the new year.
By the way, from the millennial in New York, who currently is working in the service industry, she is very concerned about dry January. She feels that because of dry January, her tips will dry up as well. So it's,
if you listen to these reports, these same people should be giving mocktails and giving big tips.
Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner spoke with researchers who say a pause is a good idea, even if it's just for 1 month.
Heads up to those who imbibe. Dr. J.P. Arab, Director of Alcohol Sciences at VCU Health, has some bad news.
Now we have extensive data showing that there is no benefit of alcohol, and there is only harm.
Arab's focus is on liver problems. He's seen patients without other symptoms walk into his office because they've suddenly turned yellow from jaundice, which means their liver is shut down, often from alcohol abuse. Arab said there's no nerves in your liver, so you won't know until it's too late. But even if you're not sure you've got a problem, it may be a good time to try Dry January just to find out. VCU professor Francesca Lynn has taken part in Dry January a few times. Sometimes her friends were doing it. Other times she lost a loved one and didn't want to fall down a worse path. She still drinks occasionally now, but she can see why it might help those who need it.
If you want to do something and stick to something, then maybe it's just like, maybe it's not the alcohol, maybe it's goal setting.
Bartenders told me January is their slowest month, so if you order a mocktail in line with your dry January experiment in the next few weeks, consider tipping like it's top shelf.
All right, so then it goes on. As I listen more to them, I hear the same story repurposed in different ways, and so they finally came up with these last two clips. And this is the different people have come on and they have some ideas.
Oh, ideas.
So how you can do this. And the first one is sober treats.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing to suggest is to actually plan out what I call sober treats. And in the beginning, in your first week or two, I recommend planning them out every single day. So for example, on Friday nights, instead of getting a bottle of wine, I would maybe get a pedicure. During the week, it might be blocking off an hour on my calendar and going for a walk somewhere really nice with music on, getting sushi takeout and watching a movie. And honestly, once you stop drinking, like waking up feeling good, feeling clear-eyed, being in your home in the morning when it's quiet with coffee, that's a sober treat.
Who is this moron?
She's obviously lives by herself. Poor, hopeless single woman who listens to NPR. And she lives at a home by herself, and she's got, or an apartment, probably. She's a renter,
yes,
it's obvious.
The renter, yes.
And she has pedicures, and she wakes up, and she's drinking crap to begin with, or she wouldn't have a headache. I haven't had a headache from drinking for 20 years because I don't drink garbage. And so the whole thing is like, okay, fine. Now, this last clip will take you right to the break because it's goodness. Actually... It's this is the sober two. This is a another selfish person.
Uh-huh. With, narcissistic or selfish or both.
I think it could be either one. Mm-hmm. But it has a punchline that cracked me up, and I think it's just a perfect. Just go right into it. We'll do our break right during this. Go.
The last thing I would say is absolutely don't volunteer to be a designated driver just because you're not drinking. People tend to immediately say, oh, you're doing a no alcohol challenge. Great, you can drive us. And then you're stuck there till the end with a whole bunch of people who might get drunk. And it's really annoying.
What a nice person.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C's in charred carcasses. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and the only Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Good morning, you, Mr. John Cranemore. Ships, sea boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, designated drivers, and the dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Let me count to you.
Let's see, 2,123. That's more than usual. Correct?
Today's what? Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
Yeah, our average is 1,800.
Yeah, it's because everyone...
This is because of the debacle in New Orleans.
Yes, the debacle in New Orleans. That's right. That's why people tune in. They need...
It's the damnedest thing to witness.
No, it's a service. This is why we're here.
By the way, because of that early clip I played, we lost a third of them.
I know. It probably was 4,000. But
it could have been.
Your talk clip, man. I can't believe you did that. We do provide this as a service. We have zero chance of being hired by YouTube to do for multiple reasons, including we're not good on video, so it's just not going to happen. So instead, we do this a public service to everybody. There's no difficulties in getting this show. You can get it anywhere you get your podcast. It doesn't have to be on one platform where you could become deplatformed if you say something bad about the Democrat Party or Kamala or Joe or Pfizer, for that matter, or if you're racist and make racist jokes about Spock Joy, you know, all of this stuff. But no, we give it to you raw. We are who we are, and the trolls join us through multiple avenues, trollroom.io or the modern podcast apps, which ensure you won't get deplatformed if you use one of those. Go to podcastapps.com, and we do it value for value. There's no ads. We don't have to break. We don't have to. Well, of course, we don't make $400 million like Rush Limbaugh, but we have a lot more fun. We have complete ultimate freedom. And I think that is always the appeal why people come back to us, because they know that there's no corrupting force in our life. And nope. we can't even be captured by the audience, which is the biggest problem for podcasters. They're going to quit.
I got some letters to read.
They're going
to
quit their Patreon. What do you have? Will you have letters to read? Does someone complain?
Well, I have some letters to read from the audience grousing.
We'll
put that in the second half of the show.
Oh, okay. So one of the ways that people can give back to us, we appreciate money, of course. We call that treasure. We have three of these T's: time, talent, and treasure. One way is for people to support us by doing things that remove cost. That's probably the biggest one right there. You know, why do H-1B visas exist? Because they have expensive employees. We need to keep the shareholders happy. We need to keep everybody happy. So we need to cut costs. The way we cut costs is by having our listening audience, who we call producers, produce for us. And produce they do, with insights, with knowledge, with boots on the ground, with clips, with pointers, with all kinds of things. They all help. You help us. You producers, you help us by setting up websites, by organizing meetups, and by creating artwork for us, artwork that makes our show always sparkle and shine and interesting. Because people are like, what is this? What does this image mean? What is going on with this thing? Ah, it's also a reminder when it shows up in a podcast. Like, oh, look at the piece of art. Ah, that must be the boys over at No Agenda. So we want to thank the artists who gave us the artwork for episode 1725. That was our pre-New Year's celebration. And it was the perfect cheesecake. Nice smile. Nice little fireworks in the background. Nice font that was used. And a champagne glass. Can't beat the bubbly. Darren O'Neill prompted his way into success once again with that artwork for episode 725, which we titled AI Artificial Indian. Again, we're super racist. I got some people saying, you guys, you know, you're calling Indians racist. You know, you're racist. Do you get any of that? Oh, yeah, because we're saying that the Indians and the tech companies, they're racist.
They are.
I know, but then we're racist all of a sudden for saying that.
Because we point this out?
Yes, we're racist. I know. Yeah, exactly. We're racist. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com is where anybody can upload. You can also follow along during the live show, see what people are uploading. It's a lot of fun. It's competitive, and we like to discuss the pieces of art that we chose and the ones that we didn't choose. And we'll take a look at it right now. This was my last show in Europe. So we had a couple of European theme pieces. I did like the Melania holding up the deport Elon
sign. That was cool.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, but then we had the...
It wasn't going to happen because we wanted a New Year theme.
Yeah, what a New Year's theme. And so there were a number of... Nestworks uploaded a number of champagne bottles, which just...
Yeah, those were good. They were competitive.
They were competitive, yes. They were, but not quite as good as Darren's. Let me see what
Graham... Now, mixing in the cheesecake probably didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt. Didn't hurt at all. Let me see. Was there anything else we were considering?
No, but I did use the one from, Nestworks drone show for the newsletter, which is a Happy New Year, Curry Dvorak, and it had all the drones.
Oh, yeah. That was okay.
It was okay.
NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. That's where you can check them all out. And of course, if you're using a modern podcast app, we have great chapters, which Dreb Scott will do for us once again in this brand new year. And he uses many of the pieces of art that are not chosen. So you can always enjoy them there as well. If you use it in the car, like CarPlay or Android Auto, it'll switch with each chapter, it'll switch on your dashboard, which is interesting and distracting.
Yes. Don't blame us.
No, please don't. Now let's thank people who supported us $50 and above. We'll mention everybody and the amount that they gave us. We'd like to stop here for our executive and associate executive producers, because just like Hollywood, people who pony up the money, they get the credit early on. In this case, we have a dual mandate. If you donate $200 or above, we give you a forever credit of associate executive producer for this episode, which is an official credit. It can be used anywhere. Go look at imdb.com. You'll see over 1,000, and that's right up there with anyone else who has Hollywood credits. And we'll read your note. $300. Yes.
I was just gonna say, I'm gonna start off today.
$300 or above, and you get an executive producer credit, and we also read your note. And we're going to thank those executive and associate executive producers now. And I just heard John is starting us off.
Yes, I am, and you'll see why immediately. This came from Isobel Pearson.
I think it's Isobel.
Isobel.
Isobel. Yeah,
really? It's not Isobel?
No, it's like Isabel, only Isobel. It's foreign. It's foreign.
Well,
it's
huge. Foreign. Huge. This came in through Weiss. We think it may not actually go through, but it's $2,024, which is nice. And I guess signing off for 2024.
Yes. Oh, that's very nice. I know Isobel. I have emailed with Isobel.
Oh, good. ITM gentlemen. 2024 Year of the Dragon featured my escape from the ever-oppressive UK to south of France. Well, I would say that's an upgrade.
Yeah, no kidding.
I abandoned my TV set, and with no agenda in my ear, I positively immersed myself in the lifestyle. I'm excitedly developing Gardaire's based in Marciac in the heart of Gascony, which is to be a boutique hotel and luxury venue. Well, I know where we're going to stay.
I have pictures. I've seen pictures. It's and there's something extra that she's doing there, which will make it even more attractive for us.
I am proud to say that Too Many Eggs recipe will feature as a cornerstone in our farm as a table dining experience. I'm hoping to combine wines and Armagnac with...
It's farm to table.
Farm to, what did I say?
Farms is table. I don't know what you said, but it's farm to table.
You have to know what I said.
It's marketing. Complain. Yeah, I'm complaining. Farm to
table, dining experience. Yes, farm to table. Well, yeah, in France, you can do farm to table all over the place. I'm hoping to combine fine wines and Armagnac with wild
Sanglier
what? That roam on the land. What is a sanglier?
It's like a deer.
Sure.
No, but
with regional delicacies to produce gastronomic excellence. I hope you approve. Well, we'll approve by checking it out.
Yes.
In the interest of brevity, which is already past due, I have consulted Adam separately for his advice regarding my helipad development.
Yes. He's brother. She's putting in a helipad. She has approval. She already has approval.
Good for her. Yes, I think that's great.
It's a great idea. You fly right in with a helicopter. Are you kidding me?
So if you are going to go there, 15% off for producers of No Agenda. Quote ITM15 when you visit the website and follow the journey. www.pure Gardares.com. That's G-A-R-D-E-R-E-S. Pure, P-U-R-E-G-A-R-D-E-R-E-S.com. Check it out.
It's fantastic. So she, how did she, you said she paid with Wise?
Yes, this came through as a Wise donation, and there's issues with Wise and the and our bank because of the
because
the
of fee our structure. Because of our bank.
No, we have gotten Wise we have gotten plenty of Wise donations. But the way they always work is if it's set up at the sending bank.
Oh.
Okay. And then it goes through ACH or some other technology gets through. But anyway, so I want to thank her for this donation. Well, it'll get straightened out. I'm not worried about it.
Well, thank you very much, Isabel. And I look forward to landing with my chopper on your property with your farm to table. I'm excited about that, and I can't wait for those fancy French deer, that venison. Up next, with $620 for the show, Alexander Nelson says, Happy New Year from Finland, though I reside in FEMA region number 9. I've been on a $4 a week plan for 2 years, and this is one of those sustaining donations. And this lump donation should bump me to knighthood. Big thanks to Dame Girl Kylie.
What was the donation amount?
620.
Hmm.
Big thanks to Dame Girl Kyle, not Kylie, and Sir Jackie Green for hitting me in the mouth. Jackie Green doing his work. Jackie I'm reaching Green. Out to No Agenda Nation, hoping someone might have legal advice or resources to help me bring my wife, Yenna, back to the U.S. Yenna and I have been together 8 years and married for the last 4. Unfortunately, her refusal of the experimental COVID injection and all other jabs still required by the CDC as a condition of legal immigration has led to years of heartbreak and involuntary separation from each other. And he has a summary of the story, which I will summarize. I'm a U.S. citizen. Yen and I met in 2017 while she was a foreign grad student from Finland at UC Davis. I was at a nearby community college. We fell in love and built a life together, with me eventually transferring to Stanford, where I earned degrees in chemistry and environmental science. Yenna is an incredibly talented pattern designer, has launched her own business with her creations licensed and featured in stores and commercial spaces. See below, luavaloflow.com. She left the U.S. in spring of 2020 when talk of border closures began to avoid accidentally overstaying the extension on her student visa. The pain of separation with no end in sight, however, led me to fly to Finland on a near empty jetliner so we could be married in her hometown that summer. Okay, so I understand what's going on here. We applied. Hold on a second. I got to scroll here. We applied for the U.S. spouse visa and became approved as legit in 9 months. However, the final step of the immigrant visa process involves an exam of medical history, including vaccine records. She openly refused all jabs and was thus deemed inadmissible. This is true. Now, there's two ways to get into the United States, legally and illegally. If you are going in illegally, you just cross the border at Eagle Pass, and they will not ask you about your injection, certainly not the COVID vaccine. But you, law-abiding citizen, you fool, his wife is now, they've now been apart for a long time, even though they're married. He's been flying over back and forth. He says, I need help. Does anyone in No Agenda Nation have help? And I would like to say that I have a great immigration lawyer for you. So email me, adam@curry.com. I will set you up. And if anyone can do it, this guy can do it. And I think there may be ways to do it. But this is a sad story. He would like to be known as Sir Sisu, if available. Otherwise, Sir Saburo. I think Sir Sisu is available. And we will be knighting him later on today. Thank you for the heartbreaking note. And again, email me. I will set you up with my immigration lawyer.
And if anybody else has any ideas, too.
This is the guy.
Okay.
I've done this a couple times.
So there's also the, I think, by the way, if you took the Eagle Pass route.
It's probably easier
and cheaper. As you came across, you get a cell phone, a $5,000 credit card.
What am I thinking? Why pay
$5,000? You get the
$5,000?
Credit card, a cell phone.
It's still some available. Sort of
paperwork.
You still got some time before January 20th.
And you might 20th. Actually get a free ride to where you're really your destination.
It's a bus, but maybe you get flown. You never know.
You can get flown. It happens.
Yeah.
Jonathan Glover's next on the list. He's in Long Beach, California. He came out with $376.24. Greetings, gents. I'm in major need of de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Started listening after the first Rogan appearance by Adam. Loved the show. Finally had to give something back. Please accept my classic caliber donation of 357, as in 357 Magnum, .38, as nice. In 38.
Nice. So he added fees.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
357.38.
Classic caliber donation, 357.38. Very nice. Matthew Ross is next in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and he sends in 351.64. Now, I just wish we had the original. The numerology gets thrown off. I have a problem with this on the spreadsheets. I wish we could change this because people are doing numbers and sometimes they don't mention that it includes fees, and then we get screwed. Anyway.
Well, it's just the way it is.
Anyway, he says, I was a little drunk just before the ball dropped in Times Square this year. I was at a comedy show of John Reap's in Charlotte, North Carolina, with my new girlfriend, Joanna. Yes, he sent a picture. I saw it. In his act, he mentioned Charlotte Panthers mascot, Sir Purr. Well, that was my final reminder of the day to donate, and I got it just under the wire, 11:45 p.m. Eastern Time, hashtag business expense. Other things happened today, totally random things that I felt were signs as well, from hearing Alan Stone's unreleased song Reasons Why to 333 on my trip meter when pumping gas at Costco. Hashtag coincidence, I think not. Jingle, Sunday morning service into double speak of the week. Please knight me, sir, clip of the day. Thank you again for being the constant voices grounding me when my late wife of 22 years passed in 2018. I'm finally moving on and my three kids are doing better. Hashtag IPM. I'm happy to hear that, brother. That's good news. Good news for 2025.
My children, it's a Sunday morning service. Yeah, no agenda. Gonna get some out of courage. Gonna get a little job. Lord help us. It's the double speak of the week.
I hadn't heard that one in a long time.
Justine Cowdery Palmer in Bozeman, Montana, Big Sky Country.
Big Sky.
$350. She says nothing insofar as the note's concerned, so she'll get a double up karma for today.
You've got
double up
karma.
And we've got Sir Tyler checking in from Anchorage, Alaska, 343.75. Happy New Year to Gitmonation from Tyler at TylerSystems.com, where before we panic about being dominated by Sam Altman's faux AGI, we first ask it to print. So far, no dice. How disappointing. Until then, we can offer our fellow producers a prototype T1 with our public-private Skynet consortium partners. You'll find us toiling away at working on using large language models to help automate a lot of the big, boring bureaucratic processes that still dominate and operate much of our lives, both at work and at home. I believe trust is more monetizable now than ever, and there are enough B2B leaders receptive enough to value for value and shareware. The model that I hope it's possible to build a business off of it. This has been reassuring through an intense period of boots on the ground research, i.e. pitch meetings. Shoot for the big leagues, but end up as WinRAR. What's wrong with that? Yours truly, Tyler at TylerSystems.com, Sir Tyler in Alaska. P.S. John, the Northern Lights was out around New Year's, and a friend of mine took this picture of his own plane near Lake Hood in Anchorage. Enjoy. When will you be joining us? He says,
yeah, I'd love to go up there and watch the Northern Lights on the right day.
So TylerSystems.com, apparently they're doing a value for value proposition. I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah,
thank you, brother.
Meanwhile, Jason Schneider in Roseland, New Jersey, comes in with 333.33. And this is a switcheroo, ITM, he says. Switcheroo donation in the name of President Trump.
Oh, wow, that hasn't happened.
No, it's funny it hasn't. I propose whoever puts him over the top should choose his knight name. Wait, I propose whoever puts him. Okay. Oh, I see what they're saying. Mm. In other words, it sends his donations to Trump. If he gets up to 1,000 to be knighted, someone gets to choose his knight name. And he was asking for relationship karma, jobs karma. I want it all.
Okay, well, we'll, if you don't mind, we'll bundle the relationship and the jobs karma into one.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You got karma.
Then we have Dana Hildale from Raleigh, North Carolina, with a note that Dana sent in with a very nice handwriting. Nice handwriting. Dear John and Adam, it's 333.33. This donation is my first executive producer donation and earns my damehood. I'd like to be Dame Dana of North Carolina and request a charcuterie board and a Rombauer Chardonnay at the round table. Adam, I love your analysis and kind spirit. John, I love your giggle. Well, that says it all, doesn't it? That says it all.
It's a giggle. You do have... See, I can do that voice without the machine.
You do have a giggle, though. There's a giggle. I've sometimes, and usually I make you giggle, but you do have a giggle. Okay, that is your witch. Merry Christmas, Dana H. Thank you, Dana H. And we'll see you at the round table later on.
I also do Krusty the Clown laugh. Well, We Realty Inc., which I assume is a real estate company.
I think so.
And they have no location up from the looks of this. I wish they would have put in a note, but it didn't show up on the spreadsheet. Would
have been helpful. Yeah.
Well, you guys can, next time you donate, make sure to put the name of the town. You guys are amazing. I started listening during the pandemic after Adam appeared again, second Joe Rogan donation. It's hard to communicate how much this show and you two have positively impacted my life.
Wow.
What we're doing is counter impacting the life that was created by the mainstream media to screw everyone.
Yes.
We didn't do that much, to be honest about it. This donation is long overdue. I'm donating $3.30 in honor of my son, Weston, born on November 13, 2023 at 3:30 a.m. on the nose. Nice. Oh, that's interesting. Born at 3:30 on the nose. Thank you for all you do. Four more years. We Realty, that's We, W-E, Realty, Inc.
All right. Thank you, We Realty, Inc. Sir Alex Vander Hengst, Springfield, Tennessee. 321.25 just says no jingles, no karma. Sir Alex Vander Hengst. Well, thank you very much. It's beautiful.
And then we have Lavender Blossoms from Northville, Michigan, yeah, at 242.25 with no note.
What?
Which is
that's unusual for Sir Cal.
I think there should be a note is missing in action. What is his website?
Lavenderblossoms.org.
Go to lavenderblossoms.org and ask him why he didn't send in a note. Meanwhile, we'll give him a double up karma.
You've got double up karma.
And there's our buddy Eli, the coffee guy, who checks in from Bensonville, Illinois with 201.02. And he says, of course, Happy New Year, all. As promised, 2025 started off with a bang, literally. Next thing you know, the media will be espousing the hazards of electric vehicles. Well, we already kind of heard that, didn't we? I'm just glad I started off the new year right by enjoying a duck confit, Persian meatballs in a pomegranate reduction, and washing it all down with a box set of Bordeaux from Costco. Now you're talking. But now that celebrations are over, it's time to get back to the business of business. Nothing helps you get it done like coffee. So visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use code ITM20 for 20% off your order and stay caffeinated, says Eli, the coffee guy.
Man, that's followed up by Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado, who asks for jobs karma. I blew it up right off the bat. $200. Take a 2025 by storm with a resume that gets results, she writes. Go to imagemakersinc.com for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's imagemakersinc with a K. And work with Linda Liu, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes. And she's doing quite well for herself.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You thought.
I have a process question, a production process question. Is there some agreement that we have that you are the only one to read Linda Lupatkin's donation note?
No, it's been a tradition.
Yeah, but maybe we should mix it up a little bit because you're clearly having
issues.
Oh, you
want to read it?
Yeah, I would like to read Linda Lupatkin's
note. Okay, from now on, you're reading it.
Okay, so now I'll jump back to Michael Supko in Belmar, New Jersey. Oh, I know Belmar, who sent us $200.79 and did not include a note.
You know what that means?
Yeah, that means a double up karma for Michael Supko and Belmar.
You've got double up karma.
And that concludes our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1726. I did want to thank Frankenmuth Fudge, the Frankenmuth Fudge Company.
Oh, yes, Frankenmuth Fudge. I should mention we also got some fudge from a, which I haven't sent you. They sent it to me. I have to send it to you. Some fudge from some homemakers, and we also got some coasters that are beautiful little wooden coasters that were made by one of our female producers that say No Agenda Show on them, and it's very, very pretty. I have two of those for you.
Well, I thank you. I received in the P.O. box upon our return, I received a package of four blocks of fudge.
Yes, the Frankenmuth fudge.
You can get at noagendafudge.com.
Did you get the cookie dough one? Cookie?
Okay, so we had a New Year's dinner, and we took a bar. I mean, this is a literal bar. It's like a gold bar.
No, it's huge.
It's a bar of fudge.
If you ate the whole thing, you'd be dead.
I will say that the people at this dinner party were blown away. They could not believe the quality. They loved it. One of them actually said, "That's Frankenmuth fudge." She was from Michigan, knew all about it.
Oh, yeah. So Jesse, JC's wife, knows all about it. It's a very famous, company in Michigan.
It's famous. And they're like, those guys support your show? Like, really? That stupid podcast you do on the Podscape? Really? Said, yeah, believe it or not, we're large, we're big, we're nationwide. That's how we roll. So thank you for that. And again, thank you to, we'll be thanking everybody $50 and above in our second segment, but thank you to these executive and associate executive producers for making it all happen today. Noagendadonations.com is where you can support us. That's noagendadonations.com. Thank you for supporting our latest episode.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Did you see that 60 Minutes had a Mossad guy on talking about the pagers and the walkie-talkies?
I did not see this.
Oh, man. So they have a guy on, and he's got a ski mask, glasses, they use a phony voice, and he's talking about, he explains the whole thing, how they did the pagers and the walkie-talkies. I have a number of clips if you're interested.
I think I saw parts of this, now that you mention it.
Do you
play them?
On September 17th, after Israel and the terrorist organization Hezbollah had been in an escalating war for nearly a year, the Israeli spy agency Mossad launched one of the most daring and sophisticated deceptions in the history of counterintelligence, the pager plot, a modern take on the Trojan horse. Mossad created a bomb in a pocket and tricked Hezbollah fighters into unwittingly wearing these devices on their bodies. The repercussions of the plot have been dramatic, including aiding in the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, the weakening of Iran, and the decimating of the target of the plot, Hezbollah. We spoke with two recently retired senior Mossad agents with leading roles in the operation. To hide their identities, we agreed they could wear a mask and have their voices altered.
It was really a sight to be seen with a full-on, like a mask. Yes. The whole ski mask, the dark shade. I don't know why this was done. I mean, other than to tout that Mossad is awesome, I'm not sure.
Yes, there's no... I'm with you on this. Why?
Why?
Why do you do this? Why don't you just shut up?
Yeah.
and you know, you can gloat amongst yourselves, but to do this publicly is there's some message, there's something about it. They did it for some reason. We don't know what.
I have too many clips, so I'm going to jump around on this. They're all relatively short, though. We start with the walkie-talkies.
We started with Michael, not his real name.
No shit, Sherlock.
You were something called a case officer. What exactly is a case officer?
A case officer spearheads the operation. He's the commander of the operation.
The operation started 10 years ago, not with pagers, but with weaponizing walkie-talkies.
A walkie-talkie was a weapon, just like a bullet or a missile or a mortar.
So a walkie-talkie bomb.
A walkie-talkie bomb. Inside the battery, there is an explosive device.
And that was the invention, to put an explosive device that couldn't be detected into the battery.
Correct. Made in Israel.
At Mossad?
Yes.
As I understand it, these walkie-talkies went into a tactical vest that a soldier would put on, and then this would go in the pocket.
Correct.
Near the heart.
Yes.
So Israel sold this device to Hezbollah. Hezbollah paid for this weapon that was to be used against them.
They got a good price.
A good price that couldn't be too low or they'd be suspicious.
By the way, now that I'm listening to this, this is clearly not a voice changer. This is AI voices. It's entirely possible they just took a couple of interns, put a ski mask on their head with some glasses, and then threw in some AI. The AI voices, it's edited in here. It's not a natural flow of conversation. So this could be a total CBS, CIA broadcasting systems, bull crap. There's something wrong with this whole report. It makes no mistake.
Yeah, I can see that. That would be a good idea, actually.
Particularly when you hear this.
Because why is any Mossad guy going to do this? It wouldn't make sense.
This is part of this propaganda piece.
In the end, Hezbollah bought over 16,000 of these exploding walkie-talkies that Israel then didn't activate for 10 years until 3 months ago. How did you convince Hezbollah to buy this?
Well, obviously, they didn't know that they were buying it from Israel.
Who did they buy it from? Or I think they were buying it from?
We have an incredible array of possibilities of creating foreign companies that have no way being traced back to Israel. Shell companies over shell companies who affect the supply chain to our favor. We create a pretend world. We are a global production company. We write the screenplay. We're the directors, we're the producers, we're the main actors, and the world is our stage.
Oh, brother.
Why is this taking place? Help me with this. There's something about this. The world is our stage. We're like the...
And by the way, these batteries are replaceable, and a 10-year-old product with a battery in it is going to be so degraded by the time 10 years rolls by, you're going to probably throw the old battery out.
Okay, I'm going to paré on that because I have 10-year-old Baofengs and I carry one in my bag and I turn it on. The battery is still full.
Okay.
It's still full. I guess
it could be. It could be good product.
The Baofeng is a good product. Yeah. So I'm going to skip over some of the bits here, but here's how they marketed it to make the stupid Hezbollah buy it from them.
Character, meaning added features.
Oh, wait, I should probably play this one first. Yeah.
Could you use it as a tracking device? Did it have intelligence?
This is talking about the pagers now.
Intelligence capability.
Oh, no. This is a very stupid device by nature. This is the reason they're using it. There's almost no way how to tap it. It's only receiving messages and several grams of explosive.
Mossad also tested these ringtones to find a sound urgent enough to compel someone to take it out of their pocket. And they tested how long it takes a person to answer a pager. On average, 7 seconds. But how to convince Hezbollah to switch to this bulkier pager?
I remember the day that I came to our director, put it on the table, and he was furious. He was telling us, there is no chance that anyone will buy such a big device. It's not comfortable in their pockets. It's heavy.
Very heavy.
Very heavy. It's no good.
Yeah.
Go back and bring me something.
Do you hear this edit job? Very heavy. Yeah. You hear complete different audio and everything. Listen.
There is no chance that anyone will buy such a big device. It's not comfortable in their pockets. It's heavy.
Very heavy.
Very heavy. It's no good.
Yeah.
Go back and bring me something else. It took me 2 weeks to convince him that although it's ugly, it has character.
Right. Now the character clip, which is kind of interesting.
Character meaning added features, which they touted in fake ads on YouTube. Robust, dustproof, waterproof, long battery life.
We make advertising movies and brochures, and we put it on internet, and it become the best product in the beeper area in the world.
Did people other than Hezbollah want to buy this based on what was being said about it online?
Yes, we received several requests from regular potential customers. Obviously, we didn't send to anyone. We just scored them with expensive price.
Mossad wanted to use the name Gold Apollo on its pager. So it set up shell companies, including one in this building in Hungary, to dupe the Taiwanese into partnering with them.
So that now they're going to tout the fact that they duped the Taiwanese because they're like the Truman Show.
So the company in Taiwan, Gold Apollo, did they know that they were working with people from Mossad?
Gold Apollo had zero clue that they are working with the Mossad.
And neither did Hezbollah.
When they are buying from us, they have zero clue that they are buying from the Mossad. We make like Truman Show. Everything is controlled by us behind the scene. In their experience, everything is normal. Everything was 100% kosher, including businessmen, marketing, engineers, showroom, everything.
To further the plot, Mossad hired the Gold Apollo saleswoman Hezbollah was used to working with before. She offered them the first batch of pagers as an upgrade free of charge. By September 2024, Hezbollah had 5,000 pagers in their pockets.
You know, it makes me wonder about this flip phone I've got, you know, best price, you know,
I'll start looking for a new co-host.
You don't need one. You just ask why all the time and you answer yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can try that technique. Yeah. Why? Why would I do that? Well, yeah, well, because of a lot of different reasons. Well, what do you think about this? Okay.
All right. A couple more here. So this is now about the activation. And by the way, all of this is the story that we already knew. We knew about the Taiwanese company. All of this is known, but for some reason, this story to be put together with these interns with ski masks and AI voices.
The question for Israel, when to activate the sleeping bombs. There were hints Hezbollah might be getting suspicious of the devices. So Mossad head Dadi Barnea gave the go-ahead, triggering the attack and shocking people around the world, as it seemed more like a spy movie than reality. On September 17th at 3:30 p.m., pagers started beeping all over Lebanon.
As I understand it, people with this pager got a message that said, you have an encrypted message. In order to access it, you have to push the two buttons, meaning that it would explode in their hands.
That was the whole point.
So if someone did not push the two buttons, what happened?
It's the same effect. It's going to explode anyway.
The explosive was triggered in Israel.
Yes.
Dude, this
wait,
is...
Wait. What? If you push the two buttons, it exploded. If you didn't push the two buttons, it exploded anyway?
That's what he said.
Well, what's the point of even mentioning this? It's just going to explode.
Well, it's just to make sure they have them in their hands, because that was more fun. Better effects. You know,
They want to make sure they blow their hands off?
Blow their hands off. Yeah, you know, a fighter... Look, you can hurt a fighter, but if you blow his hands off, he's kind of useless. So you got to think like Mossad, baby.
What ensued was mayhem. People with pagers blowing up on the street, on motorcycles, hospitals filling up with the wounded, limbs, fingers torn off, bloodied, blinded, holes in stomachs.
This is a very accurate description. I'm surprised.
Jeez. For the most part, the explosions worked as planned, they say. Watch the man on the left.
It's the grocery store.
Those right next to him were unscathed. The very next day, Mossad finally activated the walkie-talkies that had been dormant for 10 years, some going off at the funerals of those killed by the pagers. All in all, about 30 people died, including two children. Around 3,000 were injured.
The aim, it wasn't killing Hezbollah terrorists. If he just dead, so he's dead. But if he's wounded, you have to take him to the hospital, take care of him. You need to invest money and efforts. And those people without hands and eyes are living proof, walking in Lebanon, of don't mess with us. They are walking proof of our superiority all around the Middle East.
Dude, what is this? What kind of horrible advertisement is this from Assad? I mean,
I find it very peculiar.
Especially that part. Like, and oh, no.
That last one was the worst of the group.
Okay, just a couple more and then we're
done.
Don't
mess with us.
That's pretty much it.
Did you completely destroy and crush Hezbollah?
I think it's a big question. And I think the honest answer would be no. But I think after this tipping point of the beeper operation and the walkie-talkie and then IDF attack, put Hezbollah in a very, very difficult situation. No chain of command, no spirit in their soldiers, asking, begging for a ceasefire.
So you restore your sense of superiority, but what about your moral reputation? Don't you think Israel has to worry about its reputation?
Wait, stop. She says in a scripted manner, so you restore your sense of superiority.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean? What it was lost? They lost their sense of, from the sounds of it. They've had a sense of superiority since the get-go. So what's being restored here? And why does she ask that question?
Well, she's asking it because it's in the script, but I don't know why the script was written that way. It is the most bizarre thing that I have seen in a long time.
60 minutes is no good.
Restore your sense of superiority. But what about your moral reputation? Don't you think Israel has to worry about its reputation?
Definitely, but there is a prioritization. First, you have to defend your people not being killed by the thousands, and then the reputation.
Well, the final clip is kind of what got my goat, because there's something highly inaccurate in here.
The pagers have had a profound rippling effect, severely weakening Iran by leaving its proxy empire in ruins, with Hezbollah shattered in Lebanon, Assad toppled in Syria. We asked Agent Michael about the effect on Gaza.
How does that affect the situation with Hamas?
The wind was taken out of Hezbollah's fight after the pager operation, and I'm hoping that it will have an effect also on the Hamas and hostage situation, because they're looking at their sides and they're seeing no one next to them. They're completely isolated now.
In terms of the kind of warfare that was conducted with the walkie-talkies and the pagers, would you call it a psychological war?
The day after the pagers exploded, people were afraid to turn on the air conditioners in Lebanon because they're afraid that they would explode. So there is real fear.
Was that an intention?
We want them to feel vulnerable, which they are. We can't use the pagers again because we already did that. We've already moved on to the next thing. And they'll have to keep on trying to guess what the next thing is.
Well, that's not the clip I thought it was, but this is them saying we are a terrorist organization.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a terrorist organization.
Right. Yeah.
And they're literally terrorizing people. And it's not just Iran. I'm serious. I'm like, okay, where did this flip phone come from? Can Mossad kill me at any moment?
I have a drawer. The worst that could happen is you're going to blow up the credenza.
I think I'm going to put mine in a drawer as well. This is very annoying. It's very annoying what they're doing. I don't like it. I don't like it. And what the point was of CBS airing this, I don't know. It's a message to somebody. And
it's probably a message to somebody for some reason. And yes, it's something that, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, but
somebody might know. Let's play this. Since we're talking about this area, let's might as well play the NTD Syria update. Keep us apprised.
Okay.
Israeli forces continue to wage war on multiple fronts against Iran-backed terrorist groups. Meanwhile, Iran's supreme leader has now called for people in Syria to join the resistance against Israel. NTD's Jason Perry has the latest.
Israeli forces released video on Wednesday of what they said were Hezbollah terrorists transferring weapons from a storage facility in Lebanon. And moments later, the Israeli Air Force struck the building to, quote, remove the threat. This strike comes in the middle of a 60-day ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah, which is set to expire this month. However, after the strike, Israel said they're operating in accordance with the ceasefire agreement. Also in Lebanon, a commander in the Israel Defense Forces reported finding a mortar that was ready to launch towards communities in northern Israel.
Here you can see the shells prepared and arranged here below. Here's one shell as an example that we can see here, a 15-kilogram shell. They could simply take out the mortar, place it inside, and this shell is launched.
And in the Gaza Strip, Israeli forces reported getting shot at from a building that was used as a mosque.
After we were shot at, we neutralized the terrorists and entered the mosque. The mosque from which we were shot at can be seen here. After searching the mosque, we identified significant underground infrastructure in it, which can be seen here.
Before Israeli forces enter buildings, they've also been using drones to search them because they could be rigged with explosives, as seen in this building in Rafah. But no matter the progress Israel makes against Iran-backed terrorist groups, Iran's supreme leader appears undeterred as he vowed victory in Lebanon and Yemen on Wednesday. And he even called for people in Syria to join the resistance against Israel.
You know, hearing this, and I'm still thinking about this, that Mossad thing, could this be... Because clearly now Israel is, if they're not taking claim for it, they are responsible. Oh, we did Syria too. Could this be a message from Mossad through CIA, CBS, CIA broadcasting systems to Trump and others to say, you know, we can get you wherever we want, whenever we want. Don't you dare take anything away from us. Don't you try and change anything that we're doing in the Middle East. It certainly doesn't help with the anti-Jew vibe, this type of reporting. You know what I'm saying?
Possible. That's something up.
I mean, if I heard this and I'm a senator, I'm like, okay, AIPAC, come on in. I don't want you blowing up my air conditioner or cell phone or whatever it is you have planned next.
Well, the drop in of the air conditioner item in the report is probably significant.
It has to be.
Because you're right out of the blue. I mean, why are you afraid to start your car?
Yeah.
That would have been more logical.
Oh, that's so old school. That's so 1980s.
So they're afraid to turn their air conditioners off, which of course then implies that they're sweating to death.
Yeah. Air fryers next. Exploding air fryers.
It could be fryers, anything. The spying air fryers.
It could be anything. Could be anything. What is the one? Let's exploding vapes. Oh no!
Vapes. That would be a good one.
No,
I don't know who that would take out. Would bunch take, of vapors.
I'm just thinking what would take me out.
Oh, that's all you care about.
Yes, of course. Speakers. What do I got? Mixers.
Yes, you have smart speakers.
Smart speakers. It could be.
I don't.
Of course not.
I have nothing smart. No. I'm not even smart.
You're also going to outlive us all. And you don't need me. Again, you just say why, and then you answer your own question.
I have to start working on how to interview myself. I just haven't gotten that down yet.
All right, everybody, let's get a little update. Time for a bird flu update. McCullough is back on the scene. And,
yes, McCullough, who's now the opposition is calling an op.
Really?
He is part of some, yeah, he's like a bad guy. This is all bull crap what he's saying. And The farm is going after him finally.
Well, now we will remind everybody that during COVID, we liked McCullough because he has a reputation that no one could take down. No one could say anything about his medical reputation.
And nobody could argue with him. And he challenged everybody. You want to debate, you say this, you say that. Come on, let's talk about it. We can have an open forum. I'll discuss these things.
Nope, he's they would not do it.
Nobody would take him on because he's got all the facts and figures right in his head.
And here's his latest about the H5N1 bird flu.
Bird flu or H5N1 influenza has been around for over 100 years, well documented in the scientific literature in the United States. The most recent outbreak, which is now 4 years old, we've published, McCullough Foundation has published with first author Nick Holscher, an epidemiologist in the journal Poultry, Fisheries, and Wildlife Sciences, peer-reviewed journal, that the current strain of bird flu is a product of gain-of-function research done in the USDA Poultry Research Laboratory in Athens, Georgia. So it is a man-made problem that our farms are experiencing right now. The stated goal of the USDA in doing this research was simply to get it to jump from chickens into mallard ducks, and that way it could spread all over. So it's a bad line of thinking to continue to do gain-of-function research. And I hope under the new administration, one of the very first steps taken by the U.S. National Institutes of Health, the CDC, and the NIH would be to do an all-out ban on gain-of-function research, certainly in U.S. labs and our funding of labs outside the United States, because we know it's not just the government that funds this research, but also Gates Foundation, many other pro-vaccine foundations are ramping up gain-of-function research. Even in the initial spending bill that the U.S. House of Representatives had that Mike Johnson initially presented, there were 12 more U.S. biolabs proposed. Yes.
I love this guy.
Well, and I would have to ask a question here.
Yeah.
My understanding was that the reason Fauci sent the money from that through via that one company to China, Wuhan, is because we already banned gain of function research. When did the ban get lifted that is being done by locals, the USDA and elsewhere?
I don't know.
He doesn't answer this question. He just talks about it should be banned. I thought it was banned. I thought it was illegal. This is all germ warfare that is actually not only banned, but it's against the Geneva Convention. We're not supposed to be doing any of this. And how is that not brought up into the conversation?
And who needs exploding air conditioners when you got this stuff?
It's ludicrous.
Why?
Why? I don't know. Why? Yeah, so okay.
Just on the bird flu thing, because it relates to raw milk, we have an unbelievable amount of people, producers, who know a lot about
They're
milk.
They're in the industry.
They are lit. We have milk testers.
Yeah, we have milk tests. People that are actually in the business of testing raw milk are listening to this show as the two of us speak and ask ourselves questions.
Mm-hmm. So, and I put a couple of them into the show notes so you can read them. I'd like to highlight two. Here are some reasons raw milk is a threat to big milk. Factory farms are much more likely to have outbreaks that actually make milk dangerous. A mass scale operation where one spoiled batch is mixed with the rest, you're ruining a lot more milk. For smaller scale farms, this is not such a large risk. I believe pasteurization became required by law in response to factory farming issues. Additionally, pasteurization and testing are expensive. Requiring pasteurization or testing makes it difficult for new entrants to compete in the market. It makes it easier for monopolists. So, of course, any lobbying interest will want to fearmonger the public into wanting additional expensive steps out of place. So, I mean, there's a lot of information we have about big dairy lobbies. But the one that I thought was the most interesting is where big milk itself came from. And there are many versions of this story because it relates to government cheese. And government cheese, I mean, I've never had to deal with government cheese, fortunately, because government cheese is given to poor people in America. But this one producer gave me a rundown that I thought, well, it sounds credible. And there's other versions of where the government cheese came from. And we've still, in 2018 still had a lot of government cheese in warehouses. So I'm going to read this and then you can interrupt if you feel appropriate. During Prohibition, many bars and previous liquor sellers switched over to ice cream. A night out on the town became you and a bunch of your friends going out for ice cream. The kids raised this way were of fighting age when World War II broke out. Because of this, ice cream was the morale booster of choice for the military. So much so that there were multiple naval vessels solely dedicated to the production of ice cream traveling from naval group to naval group in the Pacific. The massive milk needs of the U.S. government during the war led to the creation of dairy farmers. Until then, it was economically infeasible for a farmer to exclusively produce milk. After the war, the military was drastically downsized and the government didn't need nearly as much milk. Instead of letting all this new dairy farming industry collapse, the government decided to just keep buying milk. The easiest way to store milk long term is to make cheese. So the government became a cheese making powerhouse. Numerous underground caverns, mostly in the Midwest, were stocked with millions of pounds of cheese. When Reagan took office, one of his priorities was getting rid of waste, and this milk-buying, cheese-making boondoggle came to light. The initial announced plan was to toss all that cheese into the ocean, but there was public outcry. We paid for that cheese. We should get the cheese. The federal government then used it as a handout for low-income people. This is how government cheese was born. The government also had to stop buying new milk, but didn't want to just kill the dairy industry, so the National Dairy Council, a federal government entity, was born to drive private consumption of milk. All dairy farmers are required by law to pay into the council, and in turn, it produces ads and research to further the cause of milk production. This is where the research about milk creating strong bones, as well as the Got Milk ads, came from in the 90s. What do you think of that story?
Well, the story chronologically doesn't make some sense, but it sounds plausible. I agree with you. It sounds plausible. I'd have to look into this.
I think,
and I like to see the chronology, because the way he's got the prohibition was broken long before World War II broke out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there was this moment in history where the and I think it was during this era where the soda fountain became a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was when I was a kid, we had them. And they tended to be outshoots of creameries, which were independent dairies, which are all over the place in the early part of the century, or the mid-century of last century. And they were everywhere. I mean, that's why I talked about this already, about the dairies. I remember two or three of them, independents. And during World War, or pre-World War II, the milk delivery system in this country was extremely elaborate, with the milk trucks that would mm-hmm. deliver bottled milk all over the place. And this was outlined in many movies that you could see back in the early 30s. So it wasn't as though the milk was something that just cropped up out of the blue and started getting promoted in after World War II. So I have a problem with that part of the story.
Well, history.com corroborates most of the story, not so much the naval part. But what's interesting on the history.com story at the end, it says, now known as government cheese, the pungent smelling and according to some often...
Well, by the way, I'm not arguing against the government cheese part of the story. No, I'm arguing about the milk.
I just want to read this part because it leads into something else. The government cheese was ultimately distributed to the tune of 300 million pounds. The cheese became associated with hard times, while some were grateful, and mentioned two historians, says others hated the ways in which the cheese advertised their socioeconomic status. Today, some people recall the cheese fondly. Food writer Tracy Lynn Lloyd recalls how its weird texture made it good only for macaroni and cheese or grilled cheese sandwiches. This is why we have mac and cheese.
You slaves can get used to mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Macaroni and cheap cheddar melted together.
Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
That's it, baby. That's where it came from. Mac and cheese. Whole industry created cheap cheddar. Nasty crap stored in caves. Government cheese.
I like the stored in caves.
It's great.
All right, I have one more story here of the pharma variety, which is important because there's new information.
Ozempic and these weight loss drugs, that was the story of 2024, and it feels like that's going straight into 2025.
Yeah, the story is absolutely going to continue into 2025. If you take a look at these stats, there has been a 400% increase in prescriptions since 2019. One in eight adults has tried a GLP-1, and by 2030, it is projected to be a $100 billion industry. As many experts have said, GLP-1s are basically having a statin moment. But guess what? As we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, more Americans are eligible for these medications, these GLP-1s, than they are even to statins. So huge, 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 and will remain so in the next year.
A big part is the expense, which I know a lot of folks are talking about. But let's talk, they can be prescribed for not just diabetes, right, not just weight loss. Now they're showing other kinds of effects.
Right. So in addition to weight loss and diabetes, the first big news that hit in the last year was their amazing benefit for cardiovascular risk reduction. But there are currently about 100 studies that are either being conducted or have been completed on a whole host of different body parts, the kidney, the liver, arthritis, even polycystic ovarian syndrome. If you think about it this way, for a lot of our internal organs, obesity is the biggest driver of their worst diseases. And so we're going to see amazing, amazing and impactful effects on many other body parts, not just weight and diabetes and heart disease.
Yeah, it's a miracle drug.
What an unbelievable story that was. It's just not quite got where your prediction's leading, but it's obvious it's where it's headed.
So Atlantic did a whole piece, and it's titled, "The Science Behind Ozempic Was Wrong. The Weight Loss Effects of GLP-1 Drugs Have Little to Do with the Gut." In summary, your gut makes GLP-1, and the half-life of the GLP-1 that your gut makes is you know, like a couple hours. So what these semaglutide drugs do is it's like 1,000 times the amount of GLP-1 that you're injecting, and the half-life of that is several days, but it doesn't really do anything to your body. All of them, according to this article, affect your brain. It is, in fact, a brain drug and nothing else. And that's why in rodents, they also saw that, you know, rodents didn't want any more Coke or alcohol because they have addicted rats, of course. And no one, the scientists don't actually know how it works. Just like
everything else.
Just like the antidepressants. They don't actually know why it works. And they really don't know the long-term effects. And it's passing the blood-brain barrier. This is not a good product. Scientists are perplexed, it says. Are you kidding me? So this, you know, and they want this stuff in Medicare. I mean, you think the COVID vax was bad. This could be the worst. They have no idea how it works. They have no idea what the real long-term effects are.
It would help if they had some long-term studies, which they don't have.
Nope.
And it would be even more helpful if they could actually determine how it worked. This is you'll yes. see this on a lot of drugs. In fact, on the drug yes, sometimes it'll be little. Somebody sent a couple of these to me, and it's right at the bottom. It says very in small print. This is scientists do not understand how this mechanism works.
Yeah.
So then,
yeah.
But they're giving it to you. Take this.
It's on the commercial on the ad. Scientists don't actually know how this stuff works, but we're selling it to you anyway. Just insane. Do we need to do anything on H-1B other than just be racist about it?
No, I don't think so. But I do have a remembrance clip, some stuff from the past to celebrate the new year.
Oh, good.
That I'm gonna. I decided the clips I have. The history clips. I decided that the reason that what I'm going to miss. I thought, you know, what am I going to miss
from 2024? You mean?
In 2024 and before 20. What changed? What's going to change that I'm going to miss? And I decided it's Biden.
I'm going to miss sock hops. That's what I'm going to miss.
Well, sock hops should have been missed a long time ago. So I have.
You're going to miss Biden. That's what you're telling me. You're going to miss Biden.
Don't you think? Now listen to that. I got a couple Biden clips.
Okay.
I got Biden. I got two medleys, which is Biden just talking, and then I have Tucker Carlson's clip about Biden taking pills, which is less interesting. But let's start with the Biden at the United Nations.
Now, together, climactically, intermingled with great pain, we've lost so much to this devastating pandemic, the emergence of new technologies, and global health. And a global health threat council for a global COVID response.
Was he in the toilet at the UN, or where was he when this was
it's
recorded?
Just bad miking. What am I going to?
Vaccinating the world and building back better from the borderless climate crisis from the United States and other donors, working with countries, technologies. Reduce the risk. Similarly, we know the bitter sting of terrorism is real. The United States is committed to using our resources. When the earthquake strikes, we're fighting between warring parties, heroic, horrific violence, and a belief in the universe. When it occurs in, whether it occurs LGBTQI, the authoritarianism of the world. Proud Moldovans built rope now together. Climactic climate change from COVID to climate. We, you and I, God bless you all.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to miss that clip.
Oh, come on. You're going to miss Biden. Here's the second Biden medley. And this is from this Biden medley one.
Policy and science and science and society tinkering with the early computer products, computing products, and when I wrote that down, I thought to myself, I mean, how many kids, you know? Anyway, as co-chair of the President's Council of Advisors in Science and Technology, I appoint Dr. Francis Arnold. Growing up in coal country, not far from heaven, Scranton, Pennsylvania, in Carbon County, in Pennsylvania, about 50 miles south of where I was a kid, she dreamed of exploring outer space. I could have told her she'd just go to Green Ridge in Scranton and she'd find where it was. I shouldn't be so flippant, but I'm so excited about these folks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I won't miss that either.
I will.
No, I'm not going to miss that.
Yeah.
You have another one?
Well, I have Tucker Carlson talking about the. We forgot about this, and it was never confirmed or denied, and it was just a kind of a crazy thing he went on and on about.
How about this? If you want to miss Joe Biden, you want to miss him like this.
Poisoning. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look,
this is a medley.
Think about it. Trump was a bad dude.
That's what you want to remember Joe Biden
for. Yeah, except for the music pop. Bed.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. That's what you want to remember. He was a bad dude. I got him with a chain. I'll miss him for that.
Well, play the Tucker thing and then we can go.
Really? Okay, Tucker
thing. It's good. Biden, anyone who knew Joe Biden had seen before, he completely changed. This was clearly cognitive decline. This was dementia, obviously. So we drew a conclusion that now sounds ridiculous, but it seemed logical at the time. This guy can't be the Democratic nominee. He can barely speak. How did he manage to get through the campaign? Well, it turned out, we learned later, his staff, supervised by Dr. Jill, his wife, was giving him pills before every public appearance, checking the time and at a certain hour giving him a dose of something. Now, that's not a guess. We're not making that up. We've spoken directly to someone who was there and saw it happen multiple times. Now, before taking the medication, this person said, Biden was, quote, like a small child. You could not communicate with him. He changed completely because he was on drugs, and he clearly still is on drugs. No one's pushing to know what those drugs are. We should know. But the point is, Joe Biden's dementia was perfectly obvious to everyone around him more than 3 years ago.
You know what I'm going to miss? I'm going to miss that daddy long legs, that fake Biden. I'm going to miss that dude. I'm going to miss that dude running from the helicopter. That's who I'm going to miss.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
plenty more show coming up for you with end of show mixes. We've got some very nice meetup reports, a short meetup list. And we have, of course, John's tip of the day. Why would you not stay around for that? And first, we're going to thank the rest of our producers who donated $50 and above.
Yeah, starting with Eric Henry in Maitland, Florida, $105.35. And then Baron Latikin, our buddy in Houston, Texas, $100. He probably knows that guy. Francisco in Costa Rica, 100. He needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Stephen Reich, T. Reich, I think, in Port Sydney, Ontario. 100, oh, it's pronounced Reach. $100. And he wants a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Stephen Reich. Joseph Stegmana in Thousand Oaks, California, 100. Lisa Huffman in San Antonio, Texas.
I wonder if it was Stegman, and it was it's a typo. I wonder if it's Stegman.
It could be, because that could came be. In as a check.
Yeah, it could be Stegman.
Could be Stegman. Lisa Huffman in San Antonio, Texas, 100. Yeah, these have to be entered by hand. Carolyn Costopoulos. Hey! In Charleston, South Carolina, 100. James Carlson in Denver, Colorado, 100. Kevin McLaughlin is up, 8008. He's the Archduke of Lunar, lover of America and boobs. And he says, God bless America.
Amen.
What?
I said amen. He said, God bless America. I said,
oh,
amen.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Amen. I thought you said A.
Amen.
Dana Carroll in Laughlin, Nevada, 7227. James Turner in Fairhope, Alabama, 70. Dame Jen of Idaho, there she is, 6611. That's the dangly balls and double dicks. Still a thing, she says.
Keep it up, Dame Jen.
Dame Jen is going to make this happen if it's the last thing she does.
You're the survivor.
Les Tarkowski in Kingman, Arizona, 6006. Nathan Newman in APO. There's the APO box. He's floating around in the military. He says, switcheroo for my wife, Rhea, R-E-A, in Korea. Rhea in Korea. Korea. Love you, hon. Also, add her to the birthday list. I don't know. I think she is.
I'll check.
You check. Mm-hmm. Arno, good old Arno in Amstelveen, Holland, 5430. Stephen Eisenman in Chicago, 5325. John Bassano in Madison, Alabama, 5270. We have a lot of Alabamians. Bammons, 5272. Kyle Tack in Yankton, South Dakota, 5272. And he's got a birthday call out for Binger. Joshua Johnson in Omaha, Nebraska, 50. Oh, now we're, well, wait a minute. We got Eric Van der Venden in Leidschendam.
Leidschendam.
Leidschendam. It's a dam that used to be a dam in Holland somewhere, $51.
It's the dam near Leiden. That's right. Leidschendam. You nailed it.
Yeah, I'm getting there. And now we got the $50 donors, just the names and the location, starting with Joshua Johnson in Omaha, Scott McCarty in Lodi, Jordan Tierney in Oral, South Dakota, Tony Lang in Castle Pines, Colorado, Eric Kessler in Kansas City, Missouri, Daniel LeBoy in Bath, Michigan, Matt Fraser in St. John's, Florida, Foster Birch in New York City, Meredith Whittle in Huntsville, Arkansas. And she says, you're my New Year's resolution.
Aww.
Whatever that means.
Oh, it's nice.
Yes, okay,
I like it. I like it. It's sweet.
Leslie Walker in Roseburg, Oregon. And she's got a, it's working on holidays. Yes, we're the only ones that do this. And she says, you're the best podcast in the universe.
Correct.
She noticed. Aichi Kitagawa over here in San Francisco never shows up to the meetups. I'd like to see him one of these days. And last on the list, Baroness Knight
formerly Dame Night in Edmonds, Washington. Those are all $50 donors. And I want to thank all of them and plus everybody else for helping us make show 1726 a good show.
That's right. The very first one of 2025. We hope for another four more years. So we'll take it to 2030 or close enough to that approximation. That is if you want to keep it going with your time, talent, and treasure. We appreciate every single amount that people send. Anything under 50, we don't mention because of anonymity. We also love the sustaining donations. Go to noagendadonations.com. Set up a sustaining donation. Even if you're an executive or associate executive producer for today, any amount, any frequency, you determine it. It's your show. You produce it. We're just here for the ride to provide you a service, everybody. Noagendadonations.com. We have Samantha Moskowitz, who turned 1 year old on December 30th. Welcome to the world. Welcome to your first birthday, Samantha. Kyle Tack wishes Binger Newman a very happy birthday. Turned 49 on the 31st. And Nathan says happy birthday to Rhea in Korea. Celebrated yesterday. And Arno wishes Ruth a very happy birthday. Ruth will be celebrating on January 4th. Happy birthday for everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. We've got one dame and two knights, so I'll bring out the blade, the first blade of the season, the first blade of the year.
Blade again.
Beautiful. Dana Hildale, step on up. Alexander Nelson, Matthew Ross, all of you are to be welcomed into the round table of No Agenda Knights and Dames today. I'm very proud to pronounce Kate the as Dame Dana of Northern Carolina, Sir Sisu, and Sir Clip of the Day, clipoftheday.com. For you, we've got hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay. We've got prostitutes and cigars. We have charcuterie board with Rombauer Chardonnay by request. Along with that, we've got Ruben S. Women and Rosé, Geishas and Sake, Vodka and Vanilla, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum, Bird Flu Free, of course. And as always, we've got the mutton and the mead here at the round table. Our brand new dame and two knights. Head over to noagendarings.com. Take a look at those handsome rings. They're signet rings, so you get some wax with it to seal your important correspondence. Of course, always with a certificate of authenticity. There's a ring sizing guide at noagendarings.com. Let us know what size. We'll send it off to you as soon as possible. First dame and knights of 2025, welcome to the round table.
No agenda
And we have a couple of meetup reports. The first one is from Fort Wayne, December. I think this took place on the 24th.
Adam and John, this is Shannon co-hosting Fort Wayne. Had a good turnout and heard those drones in New Jersey are owned by the Elohim, and they had a bumper sticker said, "This is the No Agenda is the best podcast in the universe."
Dame Trinity in Fort Wayne this time, having a great time as always. Thank you for your courage.
Hi, it's Shelly. Merry Christmas.
This is Jared. Happy New Year's.
It's Mike in the morning.
In the morning, too. And of course, these No Agenda meetups can be found at noagendameetups.com. This is where our producers get together. It's producer organized, and it's always a party. It's a good time. These are your first responders in an emergency because connection gives protection. And that's what everyone found in Eagan, Minnesota, where Steve hosted the I Like Pizza meetup.
I like pizza. I like it.
In the morning, it's the Baron of BNA, Steve Banstra, here in MSP, more specifically, the meetup in Eagan, Minnesota. Going to pass the phone around.
Hey, John and Adam, this is the Right Reverend Thor Hammerfist in the morning, and thanks for everything you guys are doing.
Hey, guys, this is Jerry. Came for the beer and to find out who they are.
This is Danger Ranger. Connection is protection.
In the morning, this is Caitlin, where the C stands for Caitlin. Whoops, too many beers. And I'm future Dame No Man's Land, the Invergrove Height Nuts, and getting jitty with them skillets.
This is Rick from the great state of Minnesota Nuts. 17 more years.
Errors in the morning.
Chris Fox here in the morning.
This is Larry in the morning.
Hi, this is Joe. How you doing?
I'm a douchebag. All right, maybe. Douchebag.
That's a wrap. And just remember, plane's good, train's bad.
Bye, Steve. Come party.
Yeah, well, Steve, of course, is a pilot, so that's why he would be promoting the planes. We have a meetup taking place today in the Northern Wake Publical Slave Gathering, 6 o'clock at Saints and Scholars in Raleigh, North Carolina. On Saturday, the Colorado Springs Mutton and Mead up, 2 o'clock, and that'll be at noon at Antelope Ridge Meadery at Colorado Springs, Colorado. The Sonoma Wine, with an H, Wine Country Meetup, 2:33 at Old Cass Beer in Rohnert Park, California. And on Saturday as well. The Yukons handle the truth, 6 o'clock at the Yokal in Yukon, Oklahoma. Dirty Jersey Whore, really? But he gets around, doesn't he? And then also on Saturday, the New Year, New Season of Reveal meetup, 6 o'clock at the Agile Brewing, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Many more coming up in January, February. There's even meetups listed through June at noagendameetups.com. This is something you need in as an adjunct to the show. If you listen to the show, that's great. If you support the show, that's great. But you've got to meet your fellow producers of No Agenda Nation. Go to noagendameetups.com. If you can't find Whitney, you start one yourself, guaranteed a party.
Sometimes you wanna go hang out with all the nights and days. You wanna be where you won't be, triggered or held to blame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
This is the point in the show where we like to determine what clip we'll play at the end of the show, what ISO. It's a very important piece of our production. Became a very important piece of our production. And you have outclipped me once again. I only have one, so I don't know.
This is the second show in a row with one.
Well, I had bird flu. You know, it's
oh, yeah. How are you feeling with the bird flu?
I'm feeling pretty good. Tina took a little turn for the worse. The cough is she's okay, but she does have a cough.
Cough's annoying.
She's living through it. It's bird flu. We'll be okay. Hey, you want to hear my one ISO?
Yes, of course.
Oh, I hope 2025 is everything you wanted it to be.
That was the Cuomo
kid. Too bad he wasn't more gay.
Yeah. This was pretty gay. Pretty flamboyant.
All right, I got a bunch. I got five.
I noticed.
Let's start with this top one. We'll go down the line. Annoying.
It's really annoying.
Okay, not bad.
End of the year.
The year has come to an end.
Well, that would have been good for the last show.
Joe Biden.
Where is Joe Biden when you need him?
Okay, you got me on that one. That's okay. I like that one.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, else? Here's the last one is wow.
Excellent show. Wow and wow wow.
Yeah, I like that one the best. Let me hear that again.
Excellent show. Wow and wow wow.
I think we have a winner, John, because it is always an excellent show. And as we say, wow and wow wow. And it's time now for the top of the show. It is John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB. And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
All right. Tip of the day time. We're all excited.
Okay. Well, this is a YouTuber. I had to give credit to YouTube, but this guy is a natural broadcaster. He's a kid, 22. He's just still in college. And he does a weather podcast daily, but he focuses on extreme weather events, and he will stay on. And he's I've never heard a natural broadcaster at this level. This guy is a natural broadcaster. He's one of the, and you know the type. They can talk endlessly without flubbing.
Yes.
Without stammering and yak, 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 and just go forever. And he does some, I understand, the best tornado reporting, and he gets his material from all over the world. He doesn't just go with the National Weather Service for his information. Hmm. And his name is Max Velocity, which has got to be bogus, but it's a good name. And he's already got the broadcaster sense of having a name like Max Velocity. And people should... If you like weather reporters, and this guy is probably going to be the guy you're going to hear about this guy for the rest of your life.
And do you have a clip of Max Velocity?
No, I don't. I don't add clips to these tips.
Max Velocity on YouTube. There it is, ladies and gentlemen, your tip of the day. Find it at tipoftheday.net and noagendafun.com.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB. And sometimes Adam.
Why don't you go ahead and scour the pod space? What was it? No, it's the pod. What would you call
pod
it?
Space, pod.
Podscape.
Podverse.
The Podscape.
Podscape and Podverse.
And see if you can find.
Yeah, I think it's not Podiverse.
I don't know. See if you can find a podcast in the Podscape that gives you a tip of the day. I don't think so.
No. I don't think so either, now that you mention it.
We have, and something else you won't find, is end of show mixes from David Keck to D's Laughs and the clip custodian Neil Jones with a nice toe-tapping ditty. And if you stick around at trollroom.io, noagenda.stream, or you're listening on a modern podcast app, Grimerica is up next. These guys from Canada. We like the Grimerica guys. They got a couple of guests on the show. It's always fun listening to them. And that concludes our broadcast day for the first podcast in the Podscape of 2025. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, where we're very concerned about the mist. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where everyone says, Happy New Year, 2025. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday right here on No Agenda. Remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Flight 1282, carrying 177 passengers, was 35 minutes into its journey from Oregon to Ontario, California, when part of the fuselage was torn off, leaving a hole in the side of the aircraft.
Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. They're at it again. Oh, my God. We've got to deploy fighter jets.
Tonight, in the skies above the western United States, NORAD sending up fighter jets to attract a high-altitude balloon, flying at 43,000 to 45,000 feet.
Americans looked to the sky on Monday to witness the total solar eclipse. A group of University of Pittsburgh students will be chasing shadows in the Texas Hill Country.
You all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video.
Donald Trump was at a U.S. election rally in Pennsylvania when gunfire was heard from the crowd. He raised a fist to his supporters before being taken away in a car. What appeared to be blood was seen on Mr. Trump's ear.
AI. I just don't get why we can't have Trump and Kamala both be president.
And we're definitely looking for end of show mixes with some musical taste to it, if you feel so inclined. And here's
the day.
Some days it feels like I can never leave Toronto. You never say it with a second T. Screwface capital. Get your disrespect for free. The only language people understand is when you speak in green. Cons and concrete colonies crushing cron. Big blunts of sea and tower long. Walk around lost in some lights that are never wrong. Cruise along the harbor front looking for those days that are forever gone. It's all about getting dough, yo. And every second store is filling up Timmy hoes. And now we're just living in a city of frauds. Electric bikes light up the night like we're living in Tron. Waiting around to get masked up for a new disease. And going back to school to get a few degrees. Graduate then move here to work for Uber Eats. Every day is a victory or a new defeat. Just choose a street. I see my city, yeah, we explore the mess. Toronto, even millionaires can barely afford the rent. They took a way of life and turned it into a cult. And a vicious assault turning kids to adults. In somersault out the vault, CP24 trying to think in the pulp. Everybody raps or acts, plus a chance of light rain. People getting opened up in the street more than bike lanes. Turned to ash, plus I really can't afford a nice grave, yeah. Some days I can never leave Toronto, you never say it with a second T. Screwface capital, you get your disrespect for free. Only language people understand is with
potentially concerning new mutations in the bird flu.
First severe human case of
bird flu.
The nation's first severe case of
bird flu.
The first human case of bird flu.
When you hear the words
bird flu,
severe case, should we be worried?
Bird flu.
Is bird flu in humans super dangerous?
That means we're not testing enough. And we know from other viruses that a lot of the spread can be asymptomatic.
We should be having rapid tests, home tests available to all farm workers, to their families.
Bird flu. Bird flu.
What we need to be doing is a whole lot more testing.
Bird flu. Bird flu. Bird flu. Bird flu. Bird flu. Bird flu.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios.
mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Excellent show. Wow and wow.